You're happy now. You met the guy and you're happy.
I converted to Judaism.
You converted to Judaism? That's true. Were you raised? In what faith were you raised? I'm
Catholic.
Guessing Catholic. Yeah.
You too.
Yeah.
Did you go? Did you go to Catholic school?
I went to Catholic. I went to a regular public school, and then at night on one day a week, I had to go to a big castle where there were nuns. And
the nuns.
I don't remember anything. They had the big. They had the big like wimple. They had the giant. You know, the wings on their heads.
They're mean.
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say they were mean. Those nuns were fine to me.
Well, maybe they hate women because nuns were so mean to me. They would slap me. They would, like, grab my chin. And, of course, the priests are, like, so nice to the boys.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for, like, a young woman to get any attention
yeah.
in the Catholic
I can imagine.
Environment.
It was a tough going there. So you converted now. Now you are Jewish now.
Yeah.
I mean... Well, what do you mean, yeah? That doesn't sound like a real, like, hardcore conversion.
Well, I took, like, 19 four-hour courses.
Right.
To convert to Judaism.
Okay.
It was very interesting. There was, there was two types of people in the Judaism class. There would be, you know, actual genuine seekers who really wanted to learn something. And then there would be, like, young, beautiful women being forced to convert by their old fiancés with turkey necks.
Old fiance with the turkey necks.
A lot of turkey necks.
Okay, all right. And which one are you?
I don't really feel comfortable answering that question, mm-hmm. But I did bring a picture of my fiance.
Okay, let's take a look. You see, there he is.
That's not him. No, I really did.
I can see why you were reluctant to get married.
You're a seeker then.
You're a seeker.
No, Judaism's a beautiful religion.
Yeah.
It's you get to have a weekly Shabbat. It's which is just like a party every Friday.
These courses did not stick with you. I think you just listened to one podcast and you're like, I'm Jewish now. I got this down.
You're part of this beautiful religion, mm-hmm. steeped in culture. Abortions are cool. You could get an abortion.
I don't think that they go around saying abortions are cool.
You could get.
Not like the Fonz.
That's on the PSA.
Yeah.
Judaism. Abortion's
cool.
You can.
No one's going around saying.
No, they do. I mean, you could get an abortion on every Jewish holiday and it would be okay.
What?
I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to get an abortion, but, you know, it's just nice to. It's like AAA. Like, you're not going to use all those toes. But, no, it's just nice to know. Do you have a big Catholic following?
I just was given a signal that Jews don't want you anymore.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
MoreLikeRadio.com. It's our duty to entertain you. I said duty.
MoreLikeRadio.com, a new standard in internet radio.
This is what you missed last week on Dutch and Royce.
Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, but see, the problem here is Fred Durst was born in 1970, so he is a Gen X.
Yeah, Marie, but guess what? You know who wasn't born in 1970? Wearing a dope-ass backwards Yankees cap, bro!
Do you know where you are?
He was friends with Ben Stiller. He made it very clear in his songs. Very clear.
That's the thing, though, like, everybody wants to, like, lump. What about the people who are, like, on the borderline? Like, right in that gray area? Like, I don't identify with any of this millennial nonsense.
You just
nonsense.
Keep on pushing.
All right, wait. Is Dutch trying to claim that he's a trans Gen X?
He is. He's a trans Gen Xer.
Transgenerational.
He's a trans Gen Xer. That's what it is.
I feel like it's more of it's a mindset rather than...
That's what trans people say!
I don't appreciate this.
This is Dutch and Royce. We are better than you.
Hello there. You are listening to Dutch and Royce on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Oh! Oh, hello there. Welcome to Dutch and Royce, everyone.
It is Tuesday, March 7th, 2017. Here at morelikeradio.com, you're listening to the Deutsch and Royce, the Dutch and Royce program. Here at morelikeradio.com/live. You can go there to check out all the live video of us doing our thing with the chat room and video and all kinds of fun shit. I am Joel Dutch Van Wingerden, here with Royce Lopez.
Hi, everybody.
Marie Lopez.
Hello.
Jenny Cakes and Zeri.
Well, shit, bar.
Sherry Dalai Lama.
Hello.
And super producer Mitch Heil.
Hello.
954-573-2780 is our number if you'd like to get in touch with us. Or like I was saying earlier, go to morelikeradio.com/live. Join in the chat room and all kinds of fun stuff like that. Do we have any other like social media things I haven't plugged yet?
I would the Facebook page and all that, but besides, you know.
Oh, right.
And you know, we have our own RSS feed now for Dutch and Royce and Hippo Juice. So you could get it that way,
right?
Too.
So you don't have to just search out More Like Radio. We would prefer if you did, just because we want you to check out all the shows on the platform. But if you need to have just a specific Hippo Juice and or Dutch and Royce,
I get it.
Just look it up wherever podcasts are found.
People were telling me the problem is their phones were getting full because you know people auto download stuff all the time, and a surprising amount of people listen commuting, like subway where they don't have like Wi-Fi, so they kind of just download the show.
Download ahead of time.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the way. Oh, hey, the Sully Show, we let in right after them. They were on back after a very long hiatus. So
they were out right on time. We love that. Good on you guys.
No, they're great.
They're professionals.
Sully's a consummate professional and very happy to have him back, and he's our lead-in now. My Time Is Now is coming back. New time slot whenever Johnny Five has a nice way to say
gets stops it. Breaking his arms?
Yeah, has a way of saying gets his shit together in a nice way. He's one of my few black friends, so I want to, you know, I got to keep him for street cred. You understand. Everyone understands.
His show was good. He was smooth. He should be a DJ on an actual radio station.
Yeah,
that plays music.
I agree. He was a fucking natural.
That's his calling in life.
I agree. I think the
problem is he wants to get paid though.
Yeah. That happened. And he was doing it by himself, you know, like the solo stuff, and that's hard to do, you know.
Quite. I think I actually woke up one day last week or 2 weeks ago, and I scrolled backwards through my timeline just to catch up on what I missed. And I scrolled through at least 5 or 6 messages from Johnny Five.
Right.
Where at the end of it, he was regretting every decision he made, which is the first thing I read. And as I was scrolling back, it was like him drinking throughout the whole night. And at the very beginning, he's just like, I'm just going to have one drink. Like when I got to the bottom, it was so hilarious reading that shit backwards.
Yeah.
Wrong decision after wrong decision.
Yeah. So they coming back, but yeah, you know, like I said, you could just completely subscribe to MLR like a lot of people do. But if you want to get these shows, as I like to call it, a la carte, you can. We have a fancy logo, Google Play, iTunes Store, Stitcher, you name it. It's fucking there. So get it, do it, we're on it. There's more stuff coming. Sully's working on some new things over there. Little fun fact, Sully is right by the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. So
that's still a thing?
Yeah, it is. They're probably one of the,
I thought they went out of business.
No, they're back. Recertified and everything.
They're back because of Sully.
Yes. Single-handedly.
Single-handedly brought that Connecticut school, even though it's located in Vermont.
Hey, you know what, Dutch? A lot of companies go to do that for tax reasons.
right.
But although Delaware is probably smarter. Anyway.
Yeah, I would think, yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, hold on. What did you guys do this weekend? I know I did the last hour of Cousin Joe's show last week.
Yeah, I heard. I tried. And by the way, not your phone.
Your phone was breaking up, but you guys were in the midst of the Okeechobee Festival.
Yeah, the thing is, like, when we first got to the Okeechobee Music Festival, I did have LTE. But the problem is, once 40,000 more people get there, there's only one tower in the city because there's no one ever lives there otherwise.
Right.
So even though I tried to call, I was getting no service and I just gave up. I was like, fuck it, this isn't going to work. But
we figured as much. Yeah. We kind of said that.
But yeah, we went to the Okeechobee Music Festival, which is surprisingly in Okeechobee, Florida. We went this
so weird.
We went this year in lieu of Bonnaroo because first off, it's closer. It's only an hour and a half drive, 2 hours of traffic.
Like,
so
you take 2 roads to get there from our house.
Right. I mean, can you pull the lineup up? We went with our friends Joyce and Joe. We went another buddy met us from South Florida up there named Drew and our buddy Thomas, and we all went in a
our buddy Joe, the same camper we used for Bonnaroo, for those who were listening last year. We took the camper down there.
Real quick, I apologize. Just for reference, like, how many days is the festival as opposed to Bonnaroo?
Four.
It's four. It's the same length. Same length.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, we save a day because it's only 2 hours to get there, so we don't have to spend a whole day driving to Tennessee.
Oh, right.
Right. So we go to Okeechobee Music Festival, and the camping situation was awesome. We got there really early since, again, we're so close. We were, like, thinking we're going to Bonnaroo, so we're like, oh, where are we going to get there? But we got there fucking super early. We pulled into the RV spot. And by the way, after you're over 30 years old, the only way to do a music festival was an RV or a camper, something with air conditioning.
Right.
You
can't do tents.
You could do them, but as 30-year-old, your body will no longer be okay sleeping on the floor, you know?
Right.
And we went with some friends. One of our other friends is Buddy's Thomas. He's in his 20s, and he did have a tent, and he was fine. He was like, well, you could do that. You know, good for you. We had a camper. We went there with generators. We did have AC, so I wouldn't say we were fucking roughing it. Marie's posting pictures there. We set up a little shaded area. We put these blankets up to get some shade. And then see this tent all the way to the back? That's the edge of the camping spot. That was our shit tent. Because if anyone that goes to a music festival knows, it's just porta potties, you know? And when you got to shit by the third day, those porta potties are, even if they fucking clean, it doesn't matter. They're 40,000 people.
So you know what we did is we pop up a separate tent with a bucket that has a toilet seat lid.
Right.
We take a whole bag of gravel kitty litter, and we put hand sanitizer,
air freshener,
baby wipes, air fresheners, you name it. Whatever you need to shit in is in that tent.
Yeah. So it's way better than a porta potty because it's one of those big Home Depot buckets, you know. They sell.
Did you get the? Did they sell the lids,
yes,
like the toilet?
Yes,
Oh, perfect. Yes. Yeah, there you go.
So that was set up in there, and we had a whole bag of kitty litter with, you know, so everyone would go in there, they'd poop. After they poop, they'd clean up, and they would, you know, put kitty litter over, and there would be no smell because kitty litter picks it up pretty well.
Yep.
And then when the bag would get full, you would change the bag, put a new bag.
I don't think people cared about our shit that much.
No, people do care.
I'm fascinated.
No, people do care. Here's why. Because when you go to music festivals, no one thinks of this, and I didn't see anybody else really doing this. So I was just saying, this is a really smart way to not have to deal with the porta potty. I didn't pee or shit in a porta potty once. I peed on the ground because I'm a man, and I shit in a porta potty in a bucket, like, because I'm a man.
I think the smartest thing we did was, as you can see right behind our shit tent, we have those pop up tent things where we hung blankets down the side, and we brought a portable fireplace that's propane powered. And place it in the middle of there because
it got cold, man.
Florida had a cold front that came just at the start of the festival and ended at the end of the festival, where each night it was humid and damp, but in the 40s and 50s, so it felt like it was 32 degrees because of how humid everything got and how moist you were. It was uncomfortable. So we had that little fire going in between that tent that had all, near walls, and it held in the heat very well. And everyone that walked by was like, oh, is there fire, dude?
We felt like fucking rock stars because nobody had thought of it. And because, you know, it got chilly for a festival, especially because you're walking around all day. And the problem is it was warm during the day. You know, it was like not warm, it was comfortable, 75 during the day, which is beautiful for a fest. But at nighttime, it was getting down to like the 40s. And when you've been walking around and sweating all day,
dude,
that quick change of temperature, you get fucking cold, you know?
Yeah, people in the chat room are going, a cold front. You mean a not summer front.
Okay, you're walking around in a tank top and sweating all day, then it gets cold. I watch Survivor, man, it's dangerous.
I've never been more uncomfortable cold than I was at this festival, and I've been in blizzards and
negative
degrees.
Marie's from Pittsburgh.
I grew up in Pittsburgh. I've never been that uncomfortable. Each night, I wore 3 layers of pants and 2 jackets.
Well, hold on, we'll get there. We'll get to that.
There is something about wet cold that's a little different.
It's
wet
the
cold
worst.
Sucks ass. Yeah.
I'm
with you guys on this one.
I also posted a picture right below our tent area. That was the outside view of what how close we were to what they called the Aqua Beach.
Okay, so they had this. It's called Okeechobee. And they had a lake there that they put sand and made an artificial beach. It was really cool. They had like lounge chairs out there. Like, this festival was different than any other festival because it's in Florida, and it felt like you were at the beach at certain, you know, so you had the lake. There was a stage there. That stage was playing from noon till 8 a.m., so almost 24 hours. They had a DJ there playing EDM. And now the thing Marie's pointing out.
Yeah,
in the
if
back,
you zoom in, to the middle left side, you see that there's this like metal looking half dome.
It kind of looks like an igloo, but that's made out of steel.
I see it. Okay, yeah.
Made out of steel.
So that was a fireball.
There was a big, humongous, like jet engine thing on top that was shooting out fireballs. And the DJ.
What's the purpose?
Let me explain. The DJ controlled it. So when a pot, when a beat was about to drop,
like you're hearing EDM music and it starts getting closer and you know that beat's about to drop. As soon as the beat drops, boom!
So there's this explosion of fireballs.
Which, so you had an EDM like right next to your campfire.
Which
That's
is
cool.
Yeah, it's cool until you try to sleep.
Until so, 5 in the morning and the beat is still dropping and your tent is literally blowing back and forth because of the fire wind exploding from the tent across the lake. And it didn't stop until the sun went up.
Great.
And at that point you're like, "Oh fuck it.
Well, we got to go see some bands, yeah."
And we're just sitting there all old and in our 30s and going, "Who's still dancing?"
No, but this is the best part. This is the best part, like, so we're sleeping and then it's four in the morning. We've been walking around all day.
Each night.
All you hear outside of the tent is this. Which, fine, whatever, I could deal with that, right? Okay, no problem. I could sleep for that if I'm tired enough. But then the loudest fireball you've ever heard. I mean, this isn't an exaggeration. It shook the camper. And we were about to fall asleep and then, you know, the beat's building up. Oh, okay, finally, you know. And everyone's, and then all of a sudden, boom! Wow. To where we went from falling asleep to all four of us in the camper, hysterically,
just screaming.
Hysterically, we went hysterically from laughing to anger because we all went, "Holy shit!" And then I go, "Is this every night?" And then Joe goes, because Joe like doesn't like EDM at all. He's like, "I don't understand this." He goes, "I don't know. This isn't even music." He goes, "I don't even mind. I don't even mind if there's music playing out there because whatever. It's a fest. I get there's going to be loud. I wasn't expecting it to be quiet."
How many hula hoopers were out there at 4 a.m.?
Well, it doesn't matter because we were trying to sleep and we were fucking dealing with fireballs.
Yeah, sometimes it's like when I wake up in the middle of the night screaming. It's almost the same thing.
Mitch, I'm telling you, it's had to be similar to when you were getting shelled over there. I swear to God, that's what it had to feel like. The camper would shake.
No, that's what I said. Like, you had to have at least gotten used to it by the end, didn't you?
No, yeah, we did. But by the first, day it would shake.
Well,
and then,
yeah, it's the first time.
And then you hear
the
people screaming. And then because we don't know what's happening. And then when you're asleep and you go right to awake, you have to get your bearings. And we're like, "What's going on?" Oh, the fireball. We're at a festival.
I don't think I ever got into REM sleep.
No. Like, no, I don't think so.
REM sleep? Like, that did not happen. I got enough sleep, but that thing kind of kept you from really getting into some dreams.
And the problem was the first day that we got there, we had a really cool setup and it was awesome. We weren't even that close to the fireball. But it is cool when you're out there at the beach at all hours of the night. It does suck that you can't turn it off when you want to get some rest because you want
to
see.
Is that a beach or just a river?
It's a lake that they put sand, you know, like it made it a beach, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Right. So anyway, day one, we might as well start. We got there and let's start with the first thing. We've told our stories at Bonnaroo before where they've searched us and all that stuff. So we were like, "Oh, fuck, here we go." So we're going with the camper and we're driving and while we're pulling up, we see three signs that say law enforcement dogs in, drug sniffing dogs, blah, 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 blah. So we think, "Oh, fuck." So then.
And then there's amnesty bins and all these
amnesty
warnings
bins, all this stuff.
And
okay.
So be unaware.
Well, last year they had a huge drug bust at the Okeechobee Music Festival.
Yeah. This year was.
Explain to the audience what an amnesty bin is.
Okay. The amnesty bin is at the front of the festivals. A lot of festivals have these before the checkpoint. They give you a chance to dump your drugs in like this locked bin where you could just go without any repercussions, throw it away, you know?
Right. So you don't get in trouble when you actually get up
now,
to the search.
Joe point. And I were trying to plot a way to steal the amnesty bins. But anyway, they were locked to the
Can you imagine what would be
Dude,
in there?
We were
so
talking about it.
Stuff.
They were locked to trees with bike locks. Like they were smart. There was no way, you know? But anyway, So we think, "Oh fuck, there wasn't one drug dog." Here's what happened. Last year there was all these drug busts. A lot of people that were selling. What happened was this town got the most money they've ever gotten in the history of being a town. The city of Okeechobee, maybe. How many? What's the population? I mean.
Nothing.
1,500?
Can you pull it up, Marie? Can you find it for me? The city of Okeechobee's population. While I tell the story, please. So anyway, there's no one there. And I think last year they got a lot of bad press for that. And I think the town is like, look, we're making all the money we're going to make in a year. We're making it in 4 days, you know, so.
Population 5,600.
There's only 5,000 people in town. There was 40,000 people at the festival.
Wow.
So even if they wanted to, the jail cells could only hold four people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't – the infrastructure wasn't there. But anyway, there was no cops searching the campers or anything. There was volunteers who basically are people who do that because then they get to see the shows for free. So it's like people with pink hair searching your car. So, you know, you pull up with the camper and we think, oh, here we go. And we think, oh, everything's safe. We got everything packed. Everything's fine. So then they pull up the search. And the thing they give a shit about, they pull out the can of propane from the back. And they're, you're not allowed to have propane. I go, but then we start. And this is what I said before we pulled up. I go, look, guys, I've learned something being someone who's Cuban. If you act white and indignant, people will not bother you. And I firmly believe that to this. No, seriously. And especially when you're talking to kids.
Well, it's not the. I get offended by if you act white. Like, how about just act like you've been there and or in charge? Like, why does it have to be white?
Well, okay. Well,
I get offended by that.
They stop our RV.
Because other racial groups like to be defiant and have a chip on their shoulder.
They stopped our RV and saw that we had three propane tanks and thought that we weren't allowed to have it. Now, we were in the regular camp line and not the RV line, so I think that was the mistake.
No, that wasn't the mistake. I figured it out. They had one paper that was wrong. Anyway, we pull up. The lady comes up, and she goes, you can't have propane. And we go, wait a second. These two propane tanks are literally attached to the camper. They're going to provide the heat the water. They're going to keep the fridge cold. We can't remove them. They're like attached to
right.
It. And they are. If you've ever had a camper, you know what I mean? There's two propane tanks that are hooked to the front. Every RV, everyone has one. And they go, well, I don't know. She goes, let me call my boss. Guy comes over, just a dude, like wearing all black. Hey, you know, we need these. We can't just take them off. Well, it says you can't have them. I'm like, okay. He walks away.
Where does it say that?
Well, it doesn't matter. We were fighting at first. He walks away like he's going to do something. The girl goes, well, I don't know. It's on the list. You're not supposed to bring it in. She walks away. I walk to the back of the truck. We're waiting there for, feels like forever, probably like a couple minutes, maybe 3-4 minutes, longer than it should have taken for someone to get back. And I look around, and the girl who was searching us, by the way, side note, before they let every car and after they search it, they put a big circle on the window so it knows that it's clean, that it was searched, so then you keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they were doing was the people that were searching our car, they were circling it first and then searching the car. They never searched the car because they were so hung up about the propane, they didn't know what to do. I look at Joe and I lean over to him and I go, there's no one in front of us. And they left. I go, let's just go. And he goes, well, yeah. And then we walk up front and Joyce goes, well, they have to have a seat.
Whoa.
Hold on. God.
What's happening? Hold
so
on.
So many dogs.
Hold on. Dog attack. Mitch, I'm looking at the. Sherry, what happened?
We have three extra dogs with us for about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
All right, we need to get into that at one point.
So it's like Oz.
Yeah.
You finished
with Okeechobee.
You guys don't learn your lessons, huh?
No, you don't. Is that a Jack Russell Terrier? What is
Heil's
I don't know what it is.
Pet hostel open for business.
Yeah. It's some kind of mix. Beagle, Jack Russell Terrier thing, yeah.
By the way, I want to flashback a couple months ago. We're not taking in dogs anymore, ever again.
No, I'm looking at Sterling. He's like, they tried to beat me up, Mom. Yeah.
They were upstairs fighting, and the Sterling's like, what's happening up there? I need to go run up there and find out. And then he got chased down here, and he yelled at him.
He even unplugged my headphones.
I can't wait to get into that. Okay.
Get back to Okeechobee.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, anyway.
So, you guys just pulled forward? Like, how fast did you guys start driving?
Let me explain. Bronx Johnny says the volunteers keep the drugs at the end of the festival. That makes sense. So we look and we go, they already put the circle on the car, and Joyce goes, well, the circle's on the car. We're like, all right. I go, everyone in the car now. We had our friend Drew behind us in a separate car. They didn't search him either. They closed his trunk. We drove forward, and then there was another guy who saw the circle, and he was like, come on, hurry up, get in.
So and we're like, all right, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. They didn't take our propane. They never took – the guy just never came back.
They never searched the car at all.
Fuck you. We're going to do what we want.
So after all the warning signs, after all the drug dog signs, after all the amnesty bins, after all that stuff,
it was nothing.
They looked at a propane tank, lost their minds, and said, "Just go on in." So
they didn't know how to handle it.
That's what I was going to say. Like, do you think they came back later and were like, "Oh man, they didn't wait for us"? Shit. All
I think there were so many people there that they forgot.
We honestly thought they were turning around on purpose because they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, we thought maybe they were just giving us like the, "Hey, we're not looking."
Because we were all standing there, like, we all got out, and one after another said...
Because, I mean, I'm assuming there was, like, a mile line of cars waiting to get in,
there
right?
was. There was too many of them for us to get stuck on us.
And they didn't know what to do in that moment.
And we were just being all, like, we read the rules. It said nothing about propane not being on the rules. I was acting wide and indignant. Like, we didn't have any glass bottles. We read that. We didn't do that. And we just started rattling off all the rules to them.
It's true. We were fucking
you guys knew more than they did. Yeah. That's hilarious.
And the problem is, like, we overloaded them. Because the thing is like, they don't really inform these volunteers very well. Or they're so fucked out of their minds that they don't know what's happening.
Dude, every time I've ever gone to Warped Tour, I've got in and I've gotten backstage passes. And if you go early on in the day before these volunteers know what they're doing, you just walk in and be like, you know, Van Wingerden on the list. And there's like, he's not.
He is.
I don't see him. He's not on the list. I'm with such and such band, whatever. And then you have another person come over going, Just give him a pass. Just give him a pass. Yeah. Especially if you get there early on because the line starts forming and you don't want to be the one holding up the line of 40,000 people getting into something.
So we got in there that night. We set up camp. We walked around a little bit to the outside part. Now, this festival was awesome because Bonnaroo, they both had these wristbands which you scanned into the festival. However, Bonnaroo, everything at Bonnaroo, the stages and like...
Thanks, Sterling.
Three times.
He was yawning.
Get the camera off me. Get it on him. I think the audience would enjoy seeing these. They had two dogs.
There's so many dogs.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's awesome.
So yeah, there were options for 3-day and 4-day passes, and so we bought the 4-day pass. So it's split out how many people were coming in on the first day. So we got a good spot right up front.
Right.
It was, you know, and people just kept rolling in throughout all of Friday. So Thursday, the bands were smaller and we kind of just used it the time to get our bearings, you know, straight of what stage was where, because none of us had been there before. And then Friday is when we started checking out bands and checking out more of the venues and checking out the jungle area, because they had like this whole jungle area.
Okay,
that
well,
was EDM.
Let's back up. So we get to the first day we set up. Yeah, we check all the stuff out. And what I was saying was Bonnaroo has all, you scan into an area and you have to get into where everything is. Like there's all, you know, there's the little side stages, the shops, everything's in there and they check your bags for booze and everything. Okeechobee was different, however. Okeechobee, only where the stages were did they check you for booze. So you could walk around the rest of the place with your own booze that you brought.
We saved a lot of money.
You save a lot of money.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, and that was pretty cool. As far as the fest goes, who did we see the first day?
The first day was smaller name bands like Talk and Con Brio and no one I had ever heard of before. Just some.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I'm looking through
what
this list.
What were the well-known names there?
I'll tell you real quick. We've got Kings of Leon, Usher, and The Roots. Yeah. I guess they performed together.
Yeah, they
Bass
did.
Nectar, Lumineers, Flume, Wiz Khalifa, Pretty Lights, Solange, which I guess is Beyonce's sister's group. I'm just reading through the ones I know. Grizz. Oh, I love Grizz. Mike Posner, Cold War Kids, Bleachers.
Right.
A lot of indie stuff and a lot of EDM from what it looks like.
Right.
Waka Flocka Flame.
Yeah.
Sleigh Bells.
So some of the little known ones were on Thursday. Friday is when we saw Cold War Kids and Young the Giant. Saturday we saw the Floozies and Grizz. And that's when Usher and the Roots performed, but I was too tired. I fucking passed out. I couldn't make it back out there that night. And then Sunday was more rock than anything else. And so that's when we saw Soja, Moon Taxi, the Lumineers, Kings of Leon. They were all on that day. So.
99 arrested in operations planned around Okeechobee Music Festival this year. Wow. Nearly 100 people were arrested on drug-related charges last week as part of a highway interdiction operation planned around Okeechobee Music and Arts Festival, according to St. Lucie County Sheriff Ken Mascara in a release. The 99 arrests came during the first 2 days of the sold-out festival nearby Okeechobee County. Here's what happened. I was saying Okeechobee was cool. There was no arrest in Okeechobee County where the festival is. This is St. Lucie County, the county next to them. People that were driving
through
it.
They were pulling over RVs.
And that is true. We had one of our friends driving north to meet us up, and he said that all along the way there were people stopped and pulled over on the road getting pulled and searched. That is true.
Damn.
Coming from the south, apparently.
See, that's where they wanted that. Like you said, Port St. Lucie, they're trying to make money off of.
Because they're not making money. Since the festival's not there, they're not making the money. That's fucking cunty, by the way. Anyway, the 99 arrest.
The Mets training camp is there. They're making money? Whatever.
Let me finish reading.
Yeah, that's where I used to play.
The 99 arrest came during the first 2 days of the sold out festival in nearby Okeechobee County. With most arrests occurring on near Okeechobee Road. There have been 99, that to have 99 is far exceeding anything we anticipated. Fuck you. Anyway, the drugs recovered included hallucinogenic mushrooms, marijuana, ecstasy, cocaine, synthetic marijuana, LSD, hydrocodone, and heroin. In addition to the Sheriff's Office investigators with Port St. Lucie Police Department, Florida Highway Patrol and federal agencies participated, sheriff's officials said. As with every interaction, they are pulled over for traffic offenses. See, they were not allowed to pull them over unless they broke the law. So if you weren't breaking the law, you're fine. They were probably,
and so yeah, if you're speeding, you know, expired
headlight
tag.
Out.
You should be a little bit smarter when you have illegal narcotics.
That's
in
what
your
I'm.
Vehicle,
that's
though.
What I was Jesus. About to go into, John. Yeah, it's like if you know that you're driving to a festival.
Yeah.
With all that
risk,
shit,
yeah, high risk zone.
You put you monitor, set your speed dial, whatever. What's it called?
Cruise control. Yeah,
cruise control. Jesus, yeah. My blank
speed dial.
My speed dial.
Oh,
how old did I sound right
for
there?
For the people,
sorry, just use your speed dial on your conjigger.
Jesus Christ, I don't know.
For the people just tuning in. Because I saw some new faces in the chat. I'm talking about the Okeechobee Music Festival, reading an article. 99 arrested in an operation plan around Okeechobee Music Festival. Like we said, it was in St. Lucie County. There was none arrested in Okeechobee. That's just cunty. But anyway, they only pulled over people, it says, for traffic offenses. Something alerted the officers to possible drug activity or drugs within the car, and then drug sniffing dog came on the scene. No, nothing alerted them. They just, as soon as they pulled them over, they said, "Oh, we better bring a dog. I smell marijuana." You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, probably.
Mascara said 2 day interaction efforts typically done on Interstate 95 or Florida's Turnpike usually yield about 20 arrests. Yeah, because it was a music festival, you cunts.
Hold on, Marie. Who is this guy? I know that guy.
Of course, you know that guy. Are you done with your article, Riz?
Yeah, okay, I'm done with it.
So I have to brag about this. I can't wait any longer. So after I got into the second row for the Floozies concert, and we were leaving Floozies to walk straight over to Grizz, and Floozies and Grizz have had crossover performances, obviously, I bump into the lead of the Floozies sitting down waiting for Grizz to perform.
He's just sitting down with his girlfriend and some other friends.
I was going to say, like, he had just gotten off stage and ran over to go see.
If you look in the photo before where you see me, like, selfieing and the background has the same guy on stage performing in the same shirt.
Yeah.
And literally, we walked over to watch Grizz almost together.
Yeah. So we're sitting at this bench. We're waiting for Grizz to start.
That's hilarious.
And I'm sitting next to Marie and Joyce, and they both notice. They go, "Oh my God, who noticed first?"
Oh, I saw him Marie first.
Goes, That's the dude from. That's
we
dude
saw
from
Matt
Floozies.
Hill.
That's the dude from Floozies. And Joyce goes, "Oh my God." And then I go take a picture. They go, "No." I go,
"He had three women with
and
them."
And then I said,
"No."
That's the noise. They go, "No." And I go,
like, "No, I can't." No,
I can hear him say,
"No, I can't."
So here's what I had to do, Dutch. I took my phone out. And I put my camera on and I go, "Here, go take a picture. You're going to regret it if you don't." And I go, "If I go with you, it's going to lessen the chances."
And I'm like, "No,
but if two girls walk up there, he's going to say yes."
I was like, "No, my hands are shaking. I'm not even going to get a good photo at this point."
And the problem is they had just come off the high of seeing him play. And he was like fucking his guitar. Like it was like very erotic the way he was playing it. So then like they're just sitting there still like coming off of sex. They go, "Let's take a picture."
No, I mean, I stammered through it. And
she did.
I was just like, "Hey, so
what'd you say?
I just saw you perform. I was in the front row, and I saw you last year at Bonnaroo, and I'm a really big fan. And can I have a photo?" I think that's how it came out. I don't think he said anything back. If he did, I didn't hear it.
Can I have a photo?
And then before he could even answer, I just got down and shoved the camera in front of his face and snapped it. And I said, thank you. I just walked off.
Murray, I've had an awkward situation like that with a band before, too.
What was yours?
Do you know the band Red?
No.
Yes.
Kind of Christian rock, whatever. I went up to them with their CD to get an autograph, and all I could do was, and I like made the motions of a camera in front of my face. And I was like, can we? And they're like, yeah. And that was that.
Good
like
job.
Awkward, embarrassing.
I had that. I had a similar fan geek out reaction with Matt Skiba from Alkaline Trio. Mm-hmm. This is at Warped Tour, I think, in like 06, maybe 07. And I just kind of like saw him wandering through the festival, and I happened to be wearing an Alkaline Trio shirt. And I was like, Matt, how you doing? And they had just gotten done playing like an hour earlier, and they had a fourth, because it's Alkaline Trio, and they had one of their friends come up and play guitar for like maybe two or three of their songs that required two guitars.
Now, did they change it into Alkaline Quartet?
Listen to me. I'm getting there.
Oh no! So, oh no! Did you? Really? Oh there. God! I'm embarrassed. Oh,
let him say it.
I'm getting embarrassed. I'm getting embarrassed.
Let him say it.
I didn't know what to say. I was just like, Matthew, I'm a big fan. And then like I kind of like looked over and I just grabbed a marker off of like a random like booth table and gave it to him. I'm like, can you sign my shirt? And he's like, sure, man. And so he started like sign my shirt. I'm like, so you have a fourth guy up there. You guys like gonna be Alkaline Quattro? And he kind of like stops on. He's like, or quartet. And I was like, yeah, that would make more sense. And then I kind of walk away going, stupid.
I have audio of Dutch.
Oh, I'm a fucking idiot.
Dude, I don't know if you see, but I'm getting red just thinking about it. Because I'm a huge Alkaline Trio fan. Mitch, you know who they are. Like, yeah, I love that band. I love them. And
I just blew it.
You guys be Alkaline Quattro.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever really gotten starstruck.
Did it mess up the autograph?
No. He had just signed it. And he was like putting a cap back on. He's like, or quartet? And I was like, yeah, that would make more sense.
Good job.
Have any of you guys heard of a band called The Bleachers?
No.
They were really good.
We were almost up in the front of the stage for them because we were making our way up for the Lumineers, who perform next on that same stage. And
hey!
For a band that none of us had ever heard of, we had never enjoyed a band more, I think.
No, the Bleachers were
the Bleachers.
Really, yeah, really fucking good.
What's a good song from them? Should I just pick the most?
I don't even know.
Yeah, pick the most popular one.
They had kind of a Bruce.
5 million views. Oh wait, is this going to get us kicked off?
No, they're cool.
It's on Vivo.
They're cool.
They had a Bruce Springsteen kind of feel to them.
Oops, sorry.
Well then,
because they were from Jersey.
Fast forward.
I know. I'm doing it.
Idiot.
And I'm training myself to give up on the past, cause I'm frozen time between hearses and caskets. Lost control when I panicked at the acid test. I wanna get better.
What is that? Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a commercial for like a cell phone.
Yeah, they played this. I wanna get better? Yeah.
I wanna get better.
Yeah. That was one of them.
Yeah.
They were really good, though. I enjoyed them. They were our surprise band, I would say. Like, the band that I had never heard of before that we just happened to wander onto, and they turned out to be really good.
Anytime I go to any kind of music festival, I love that kind of stuff. Like, those are the ones I always pull away from. Like, that's a really good band. I've never heard of them before.
Yeah. So check out The Bleachers. They were awesome performers. Really a lot of fun. A lot of energy.
By the way, it's just Bleachers. It's not The Bleachers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we that was... Anyway, so the first day we did that, then we saw some smaller bands, like we said, on Friday.
War Kids and Young the Giant.
Yeah,
Friday.
Cold War Kids and Young the Giant. Then we got fucking wrecked. I mean, annihilated.
Friday night
was... What was the word we used last year when you guys went to...
Truffling.
To just... Friday, truffling, yes.
Yeah, Friday night was a long night, and that's why I missed the Roots and Usher on Saturday
because
wanted
of
to I wanted to rest up for Sunday
because
I
happened.
Knew I'd be standing all on Sunday.
Think Usher did the thong song.
Well, I don't know.
Usher did wasn't didn't Cisco
why,
did.
Why would Usher do the thong?
No, but he would have just covered it.
Why?
I don't know.
Where do you?
Is he used to
do that with
does
the
he
Roots?
Do that?
I don't understand.
I just want.
Thanks, John.
I just want to chime in.
I just want to be heard.
No, honestly,
so,
I didn't see them.
All right. So were you guys truffling at all during this whole experience?
So Friday, that's when it happened. We got messed up. And we went to Jungle 51. And this Jungle 51 area is EDM heaven. So you walk in, and since it's Florida, there's a whole bunch of trees. And you walk in, and there's like it's all dark, obviously, at night. And then in the back, there's a huge LED stage. Like, I'm talking huge. Like, think Deadmau5, like, in the back. Like, fucking huge.
Oh, wow.
And then there's lights, lasers shooting everywhere. They wrap the trees with, like, a metallic thing around it.
It was either aluminum foil or saran wrap.
Tin foil, yeah.
Or both.
And just shooting lights off of it. So it was fucking intense. So we're in there, and the DJs are playing. Then we go to this other thing that they call the tea room. This was, do you have any pictures of that?
Yeah.
This was pretty crazy because you walk into this thing and it's a whole bunch of trees, but.
So it creates a lot of covering?
It creates a lot of coverage. So inside of all these trees, it felt like you were inside like a building because they had a little stage and a guy playing acoustic guitar and they had like couches like there would be in a house, but outside on the floor, lamps like in a house, like very, very, it felt like you were in a Neverland, like where the lost
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. Here's some pictures.
That is built by a guy who's done a lot of ecstasy.
Oh, dude, they had a little section for every kind of drug, basically. The ED. Yeah, for real. So we're walking through here. And
we kept saying we were going inside or outside as if we were in a room. And then we're like, no, wait. We're still outside.
Everything's outside. So,
we're still outside.
So then I'm sitting down and I'm fucked up. And I look up and I keep thinking I'm inside. And I'm sitting on one of the couches and Joyce is standing next to me. And I look at her and I go, wait a second. Are we inside or are we outside? And she goes, we're outside. I go, yeah, but the furniture's inside. And it was fucking with me, like, because, you know, I'm fucking losing my mind at that point. I'm like, where am I? So then I calm down because I know you always go with it. If you go with it, you're fine. So
yes, exactly. That's what you have.
That's
to do
always
every
the
time.
Key. You go with
if
it.
You fight it, then you're gonna have the worst experience of your life.
So then I was fine. Then again, I started laughing again. But here's the problem: before we even started walking around, Marie was freezing cold. She was fucking freezing. After we watched the Cold
Bone
War Kids,
chilled.
So we went back to the camp. And
I put on my yoga stretch pants.
She looked like a homeless
then
woman.
Then I put on my pajama
she
pants.
She put all the clothes she brought with
then
her.
Then I was wearing
on.
A skirt outside of my yoga pants.
Every, like a homeless
pants.
Woman.
I wore a shirt which had my runner's jacket over top of that and then a cardigan sweater that had a hoodie on top of
and
that.
And then a blanket on top of that.
And then this blanket right here I was wearing on top of everything
so
else.
So she's walking around a festival dressed like a homeless woman that owns 1,000 cats. She's wearing a blanket and everything. And
but
at one
I finally
point,
got warm.
Yeah. At one point, she goes, I'm freezing, but every time I close my eyes, I see rainbows. So then we start walking around.
So it's okay.
And at the EDM place, I look around. And at that point, I think it's when Marie realized how ridiculous she was dressed.
Because everyone started staring at me. And I'm like, what? It's cold. What do you want?
Yeah. And Marie's dressed like fucking.
And then I started laughing because I thought to myself, going into Jungle 51 reminded me of going into any kind of club. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm so glad there's no dress code right now because I basically walked in as if I was going to a slumber party at my best friend's house.
Exactly. But by the way, Joyce also dressed in her pajamas. By the way, again, music festival in your 30s versus music festival in your 20s. In your 20s, here's my fucking tit. Here it's like.
Well, you're trying to get laid. You guys all went as
all
couples,
it was all comfort. It was all about comfort. It was, dude, it's really, and I love that. I really think in your 30s, when you don't have to worry about getting laid, when you can actually go all about comfort, people miss out. They go, oh, man, I'm too old to go to festival. That's the best time because then you don't have to worry about getting laid. You're with a significant other. You could fucking dress however you want, fart in a fuck. Joe kept farting in the fucking packed pit. We were waiting in between It was after Bleachers, but before Lumineers, and we were standing there, and I basically did a 5-minute set for everybody. I was killing them. I was doing a 5-minute set there. And
isn't that great when you murder in front of a group of strangers?
Yeah, they're all fucked up, so it was easy. So, he starts farting, and my other buddy Drew, who goes, "Jesus fucking Christ, who farted?" And Joe Lee looks and he smiles. I'm like, "Oh fuck, Joe, come on, man!" And he kept farting and he kept farting and it kept getting worse and worse. I go, "You know what, Joe? I'm not even mad at that one. I'm impressed. I don't even know how that came out of your body." And the people behind us started cracking up. And then Joe immediately, because he can't leave things well, he had to make it awkward. He goes, "You think there's any kid diddlers around here?" I'm like, "What?"
Oh my God.
But think about this. There's like 100 people around us, like packed tight, you know? And no one can move. And I go, and then we started defining what, then I go to him, I go, "Well, okay." He goes, "Is there any way to say child and diddler in a sentence without it being creepy?" And I go, "Yes, Joe is a child diddler and I called the police on him." And, you know, it went from people laughing to some people were still laughing at that, but some people were like, "Oh, child touching. That's where I draw the line, faggots." But, We had a lot of fucking fun, man. We stayed up late, explosive sleeping. I mean,
all I will say is the Lumineers fucking crushed.
They were really good, man. They for the best band for sure.
I've never once cried because of seeing a music festival, but I got a little misty eyed. They were that good, and I'm like, I get it. I fucking
really?
Get it. Like, I get it why people get emotional listening to a band. Like, I wasn't even, like, a super Lumineers fan, but they played every song I knew. They killed it. They were on point. They had the good energy going. Like, loved it.
So your Lumineers is like Joel's Pearl Jam.
Right.
Yeah.
Except her band is not from the 90s.
when was the last time you guys ever cried at a show? I'm trying to think.
Never.
I don't think I have either, because my taste in music is very aggressive and we're happy. So, I can't think of like emotional.
I mean, I once heard NPR by mistake.
Yes. try crying while you're doing the skank. Come on,
that's
people.
A good point. But So it was. Oh, there was definitely cops there. But unlike Bonnaroo, there's a lot of undercover cops. And like I said, Port St. Lucie was the one. Okeechobee cops were actually really fucking cool. I mean, we talk shit about the.
But you saw undercover cops in action?
No,
not. Okeechobee didn't have any undercover cops. It was just uniform.
It was a lot of sheriffs that were shipped in from other parts.
And here's the thing. These sheriffs at Okeechobee were getting paid time and a half because this is overtime for them. They all got golf carts. They were rolling around 3 deep just laughing and fucking off. They're out front. You know what I mean? They were fucking off. Like
they're on vacation.
Yeah, the cops really were on. They were like people smoking weed by the cops, people doing fucking Molly in front of the cops. They didn't care.
They were probably just looking for like actual troublemakers.
They were looking for fights and shit like that. Besides that,
anarchists.
I got to give them credit. It was funny though because you look at the midfield. There's 40,000 people there, but there was a group of like 5 cops, and it looked like they had a 20-foot force field around them. Nobody walked within 20 feet of them. It was hilarious. It was. It really looked. We were looking.
So
like,
it was a lot more. It was a lot more tame than the Bonnaroo. Now, you said about 40,000 people at Okeechobee. What about Bonnaroo?
Bonnaroo sometimes gets 80,000, but last year it only got like 40,000.
50,000,
so a little
there
more.
There was like
30,000. But this is a smaller venue.
Yeah, a much, much smaller venue.
Okeechobee is like relatively newer, right?
It is.
No?
It's new. It's
as
newer.
Far as festivals
And
go?
Here's what I say. Yeah, it's newer. And it's the same people that do Bonnaroo. But the one thing that they got set, man, is they did a really, really good job having enough stuff for everybody. Like all the stages are next to each other. Like a Bonnaroo, if you want to watch 2 shows that are after each other but are different stages, you have to like walk 30 minutes to get to another stage. Here, every stage was right next to each other. It was like boom, 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 like down on the line. So you could go from show to show real quick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny where the main stage was, there was a big mansion style house because the festival was done on private land, you know? So it was just a dude's house that was in the middle there too, which is kind of funny.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Was anybody in the house while the festival was going on?
I saw people going in and out.
It
like
was
staff.
It was fenced off.
Yeah.
So it's
but there
hard
was
to
staff,
tell.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
That's probably like where they stage the real big celebrities.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know,
like
see
Usher,
the house there.
Kings of Leon.
That big house is right in between 2 stages.
Justin Arribas, it was your favorite set. Marie set.
Lumineers
is really good.
By far and away.
The Floozies did really good. Grizz was great, too.
Floozies was good, but Floozies only played two old songs. The rest of it was all new, so we weren't as familiar with them.
And now, did they play during the day, or did they at least have their own light show?
The Floozies played during the day, Grizz played at night.
Oh. Floozies was playing during sunset, and then Grizz came on right afterwards and was dusk.
See, that's the problem with acts like that. It's like you kind of lose a little bit if you don't have the visual to go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really, really liked I liked Grizz a lot.
Grizz is great.
Yeah, and he's cool. It's just him on the saxophone, a guy on a horn, another dude on a bass, and then his DJ equipment, pretty much. But and by the way, something else, big surprise. There really wasn't a lot of Trump bashing. I thought there was going to be a lot. There wasn't.
No.
Like no protesting, none of that.
So basically, they just went there to have a good time then.
Yeah, right. It was just supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Which is what a festival is supposed to be.
No, but yeah.
Supposed to be.
Yeah, but Pearl Jam at Bonnaroo was fucking went political. Fuck that. Always do.
All from the band, basically.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah, exactly.
I know U2 is the headliner at Bonnaroo this year, so you know it's going to be political.
Ugh. Oh, boy.
Are you happy that you didn't go there and you went to this one? Because this one's a little more low-key.
Personally, yes, because I like the weather better. It's nice not having to walk in 98 billion degree weather in Tennessee, and there's no shade. Bonnaroo has no shade at all. This place had a lot of shade.
Meaning trees and everything everywhere?
Yep, trees
Nobody was throwing shade?
No. I don't believe there was shade being thrown. It was funny. We did stand there, towards the back, but we were kind of seeing Waka Flocka was playing, and we're sitting there watching it go, and there's people losing their fucking minds, Joel.
Yeah, he's got a following.
No, but I mean, there's fucking these white dudes dressed like fucking black dudes singing all the words. But then I looked around and I look at Joe. I go, hey, notice something. Notice that they don't say the N-word, though, because they're all hyping up. It was hilarious, though, because there's still a bunch of bleeding heart liberals at music festivals. So they're losing their minds. Yeah, I'm going to fuck that bitch in the butt. And then the come out like they skip, you know, like they would just skip any N-bombs at all. They wouldn't even mouth them. Because they don't want to offend anybody.
You're not allowed to offend anyone.
No.
I noticed that Okeechobee Fest was a lot younger than Bonnaroo. The kids these days, I know the kids, they were dressed weirder, more provocative. It was a much more attractive crowd. Like Bonnaroo, you get a lot of old hippie type characters. Because, A, it's in Tennessee and not in Florida, so you can't get people that can drive from Miami or whatever.
Right.
So I felt a little on the older side at Okeechobee.
Oh my God. Oh, by the way, something else related to that. There are way more hot women that go to Okeechobee Music Festival than Bonnaroo.
A lot more
really?
Butts. A lot more butts, more boobs.
I'm not even talking about, like, it's not even a competition because Okeechobee is so close to Miami and Fort Lauderdale and Orlando and Tampa. You get all these places that historically have very pretty women. So
a lot of college towns.
Oh my Dutch. Dude, everybody in the group, it wasn't even being sexist. It wasn't even like dude bros.
Hold on. Did you guys ever have like the talk of like, if I wasn't in a committed relationship right now, this would be where I would go?
Dude, of course, in a fucking heartbeat. Because you walk around there, first off, the numbers were in guys' favors too. There was definitely more girls than guys there.
You think so?
Oh, no. I for sure.
Wow.
There was a lot of group of girls that just drove up with their friends because it's just an hour drive.
Okeechobee.
Yay! So anyway, they're walking around. Fucking during the day, it's warm. Fucking scantily dressed. Fucking up. Dude, I'm looking around looking
at pics or get the fuck out. Come on, people.
I didn't take pictures.
Yeah, we're not creepers.
Marie, why weren't you being creepy Marie? Why weren't you taking pictures?
I'm not creepy Marie.
She's creepy.
Yes, you are creepy.
You're the one. You pointed out more butts than I did.
I pointed them out.
You're the creepiest one out of the group of us. Come on.
I pointed them out, but I did no photo taking.
I would argue that Sherry is now the creepiest one.
Because you won't. You would not get punched in the face if you were taking pictures of hot chicks and be like, oh, hey, you want me to pose for you? They'd be like, yeah, okay, cool.
So, yeah, there was a ridiculous amount of hot women. And, like, all in their 20s.
I want to see.
And then at one point when I was standing out to be worried and getting in, I was standing by the truck when they were searching us for propane, this guy, young dude, walks up to me. He goes, hey, man, I don't mean to insult you, but, you know, you look older. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah, what's up, man? the brakes are locking on my truck, and I don't know. I go look at him. I go, dude, let me tell you something. I'm not a mechanic. I go, I know you think I'm Hispanic and I should know how to fix it. I did. I said,
hold on.
I did. And I said, but I don't know how to fix it. And he laughed and he goes, I'll find somebody. And he walked away.
Wait. So
I swear to God.
In line to get-
I swear to God. I swear to God that happened to me.
He said, you look older.
Yeah, yep. He goes, but he first started, I don't mean to offend you.
Of course not, because they're not allowed to offend anyone.
I don't mean
anyone.
To offend you, but you're a spick. Can you fix my truck?
Yeah. And then
all he had to say is, hey, man, do you know anything about this type of truck? If you said no, okay, fine.
It didn't bother me. It was just funny. I was also standing in line.
That's all you had to say. Like, what kind of tact is that?
Okay, something else that happened. We were sitting down waiting for the flu season. We had our blanket out, and I was sitting down in, you know, Indian style on the blanket. And sorry, Native American style on the blanket. And they're Mali. I figured it out later. They walk up and, like, they sit down in front of us, and one dude just kind of plops down on our blanket. And I was like, okay. And it's only because – and I normally won't care, but Joe had gone to the bathroom, and it's where he was sitting. And I look at him, and I'm like, what the fuck's going – then I realize they were fucked up, whatever. Then the girl sits down, and when she sits down, I swear to you, she literally sits down on my legs. Like, my whole right leg – had her legs.
These kids are just rolling.
They were
and
rolling.
They just needed a place to
exactly,
sit for a second.
Exactly. And then she kept.
I get that sentiment of just kind of letting it go, because most people would hear that, at least most of the audience who haven't.
Oh, no. I knew what was happening. Once
be
I knew.
Like, get the fuck open, blanket.
Nah, no. What, what's
if
once
you've experienced
once,
before, you get what they're going through.
I was telling Joe, I was like, what the fuck? And then when I realized, I go to him, oh, they're fucked up. I go, ah, it doesn't matter. Cause he wasn't, they weren't being rude when I figured out they were just rolling and they just needed to fucking, I was like, whatever, just sit. But then she was like sitting on
yeah,
me.
I get that.
She was sitting on me. She kept like rubbing her legs. Cause you know, when you want to be, she kept like rubbing her legs on me. I'm like,
yes.
What are you doing?
Wait, so she started rubbing you?
I didn't even, she wasn't looking at me though. She never made eye contact.
Of course
she was,
not.
She was looking
you're
at
feeling her. Feeling things around.
And then the best part about it is, though, the whole time it was cool, because then I'm sitting there, and then they light some legal medical marijuana, because it's legal in Florida now, and they start passing it around, and she goes, here. I'm like, oh, I guess we're friends now. I'm like, all right, thanks. So I was like, cool, I'm glad I didn't kick him away.
You're filling me up for the last 5 minutes.
I guess I deserved it. And then it was just really funny.
For your trouble, I sir.
Because I started realizing what was happening, and at one point, when they started talking to me, Marie noticed this, they turned around and they go, whoa, you're more tan than us. I swear to God. And they both put their arms next to my arm.
That is exactly when I tuned in.
Just like that.
That's it. When that kind of shit happened, you'd be like, who's your dealer? Because that's a good batch.
Bro,
you're so tan.
You're so tan.
And they like turn back around and enjoy themselves and then turn back around again.
They remembered that I was tan.
Man, you're tan.
Again, he turned around and he goes, bro, you're so tan. And I'm like, I don't know why he's even screaming yet, because the music hadn't started yet. So he's just screaming at me.
He's very excited.
But, you know, he was being nice. So I was just, you know, playing into it. I was like, yeah, bro, I'm Cuban. He goes, bro, no way, really? And I'm thinking to myself, you're in Florida. But then I realized they had driven from really far to get here. Like, I think it was Wisconsin or some shit.
Like Mississippi.
Yeah, Wisconsin, right. I'm pretty sure. So, hey. Like, for them, that was, I think, their first time being in Florida. Probably the first tan person they saw. And they were like, I felt like, you know, like, you know how black people say they feel like superstars when they go to China? Because they do. They're like, oh my God. That's
the
how
first,
I.
It's like, whoa.
I finally got what that felt like. I was just minding my business, looking at my phone, and they go, dude. I'm like, dude. It was fucking
that's great.
Hilarious. Justin says he's dying. Yeah. He said, the set, he says Grizz and Snails did a secret set. They did, but I didn't see it. At 6 a.m., it was Bass Nectar and Pretty Lights closed out the event by the Fireball tent by us.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Those are two huge
I know.
DJs.
Well, guess what? We heard
huge.
It. You know why we heard it? Because it was literally 5 feet away from our tent.
We missed.
And you didn't think till I go over. You probably didn't recognize any of the songs.
No, I know Bass Nectar.
It's not that we didn't think. It was 5 a.m.
It was 5 a.m, dude. And we were wrecked from being. That's we were point. Up, dude. We were up. Dude, remember, you're walking, you're in the sun, and you're drinking. And, you know, you're not. No matter how much you think you're hydrating, right? You really are drinking more liquor than you are water. You know, no matter how hard you try. You know, right. You'd be like, well, you guys, after you have like seven hard liquor drinks, you're like, yeah,
I've
but you know,
like one Gatorade.
Yeah, exactly.
Seven.
And then you start justifying it.
Stop questioning me, bro.
You start justifying. You go, well, I mean, the Blue Moon I had an orange in it, and that's just basically water.
Right. That's fucking nectar, man. Yeah. Come on.
But it's true. Like, and the other part, it was really cool because, like I said, you could get fucking hammered at the other place and then walk in already hammered. So then you just have to buy one or two drinks to maintain, you know what I mean? And just keep going.
Right, right.
You know,
just have something in your hand.
Exactly. Yeah. Just to keep going. So it was a lot of fun. And the best part is there was a lot of shade areas where you could like get overheated. You could fucking chill. The food was really good too because they had like a lot of local food trucks. So it was a lot of like.
What was the one that had the grilled cheese? Was that one called Killer Melts?
That was called Killer Melts, yes.
They had the best grilled cheese sandwiches I've ever had.
And I want to point out, when we ate these, we were sober. This is one of those like, we were so fucked up and had the munchies. This was like, this how you know it was legit good. We were like, man, we're hungry. I'm like, oh, grilled cheese, let's go over there. So we grab it. Dude, they had like a bacon jam cheddar and like macaroni and cheese inside. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Because normally you go to music festivals and it's like a pizza or a corn dog, you know, shit like that.
Is it just a food truck?
It's a food truck
thing, or are they?
I put the website.
I'm assuming it's just in Florida.
I put the website of the food truck in
there. Yeah, that's
so
them. Yeah, that was their truck.
Just scroll down and look at the. Oh my god, it was so dumb.
If you ever go,
it was
to,
so dumb. It was so not, good. Not,
941 area code.
This the bacon cheddar jam, whatever thing this was, like blew my mind. It was too good. I couldn't handle it. And then the Caprese one next to it, we also had that one. I don't think I've ever had a better grilled cheese in my life.
If you are in Miami and Justin Uribe, I know you're close. Killer Melts is located in Kendall. It's in Miami. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, that's where the main they have a food truck and a restaurant. Again, for me to point out food at a fucking festival, it had to be good. It was ridiculous. Right.
What was the other one?
I believe you.
What was the other one that you got?
That was baller.
The
check
Amish
this out.
Baking
Amish
company?
Are brilliant.
The Amish baking
company? The Amish opened a tent. Amish baking
company. Hey, that's
company.
My state, Pennsylvania, yeah, baby.
The Amish baking company opened a tent there, and they were hand-making pretzels and hand-making donuts, like there.
That is the Amish's thing. That's the reason why Philly is known for not only cheesesteaks, but for pretzels, because of the Amish.
The donuts that he bought were as big as my face.
Yeah. By the way, because, you know, music festivals crank up their prices, but it's bread, so their overhead's nothing. So you get like three donuts as big as Marie's head, which Marie has a small head, but still. That's still pretty big.
They were very heavy donuts.
Yeah. And again, the food was good. I would do it again. I would say, like, I would agree with what we say. We said depending on the lineup. Like, if you had a good lineup, definitely do it again.
Yeah, the food truck situation.
Okay,
because
yeah, like last
awesome.
Year, you guys were saying, like, you know, Dutch, you got to come down to Bonnaroo again.
Yeah.
Actually, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then didn't Joey come with you guys last year?
Yeah, Coletta.
Year?
Yes.
Well, that's what I was talking to you before the show. We were looking at doing maybe next year Ride Fest.
I would like to do Okeechobee. I feel like that one sounds a little more fun.
Well, if you guys come, of course. Let's see what the lineup is. Let's see next year what the lineup is. Okay. If it's good, I'm always down. And if it gets you guys to come, that would be awesome. Justin Rivera goes, Bass Nectar and Pretty Lights Kill. They were really good. I didn't go outside, but literally you could hear it like crystal HD quality from where our thing was. So I was listening to their set, and they were really good.
I had a massive crowd.
Yeah, no, dude.
Because once the word gets out, like, hey, they're doing a secret set. Like, yeah. I'm sure it just got.
Oh god, dude! Full. It was 6 a.m. Dude, they fucking closed it out. It was nuts. Again, definitely a really, really good fest. And again, a lot of people, I think fests get a bad name sometimes. Cause I think a lot of people think it's all like, oh, Tippy's just going to roll around in the mud. It's not really that anymore. Like, a festival is basically, if you like a lot of the bands, it's the cheapest way to get a whole bunch of concerts out of the way. Like,
right, and then just have a whole bunch of days of debauchery.
Right,
and
exactly. And by the way,
get that out of your system.
And not worry about driving. And not worry about driving, because you walk everywhere. You're camping.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just fucking hang out, you party. And look, I get women are feminists, and that's true. But let's be honest. A lot of chicks go there to get fucking laid. It happens, you know? And again.
So then the mud dancing hippies, did they all die out with Lollapalooza?
The mud dancing hippies, I think, have evolved into something else. I think they're more of the
hula hooper?
Maybe there was, you know, there wasn't a lot of hoopers. You know,
oh, there was plenty of hoopers.
There was. I didn't notice that many.
Oh, I saw them. They're all over the place. But yeah, it was a younger crowd. It was a more EDM festival type crowd.
For sure.
Saw a lot of girls in pasties. I saw some girls painted up.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I mean, so many hot women.
Only a few older hippie looking. Yeah. There was a whole section on yoga.
It's more the partier crowd than it is like the hipster crowd. Because the hipster crowd is usually the ones who go to like Coachella.
I would say.
But you're saying this is more of a party crowd?
I would say that, well, see, they sectioned off the days where all the EDM and party stuff was on one day. All the EDM and party stuff was Saturday. And I think they did it on purpose because they knew people were going to be so fucked up from Molly that they're going to be recovering. So they figure let everyone get all this, do their drugs in one day. You know what I mean? And that way, that day, the people that were there for like the rock bands were just kind of like chilling or hanging out at the other stuff they had to do there. So then it gave the people, and the next day was hilarious, Dutch, on Sunday when the rock bands were playing and all the hipsters were there watching the rock bands like Kings of Leon. You would see all the fucking party guys just laid out, like laying on benches with like a foot out.
Oh, dude.
With their arm out.
So wrecked.
Yeah, just fucking gone. Going, oh my god. And what time is it? Just things falling out of their pockets.
This band stinks, man. Oh, no beat.
What the fuck? Where's the bass drop? One guy even told me, I swear to God, when I walked away, I didn't tell you. He goes, I was sitting with a group of, I walked away and I was sat on a bench and there was like a group of like some Puerto Rican people hanging out and they were talking. And they were there, obviously, for the EDM stuff. But Sunday, I was sitting at the bench, and one guy goes, man, all these fucking bands today have banjos. I swear to God.
More Like Radio! MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way.
By the way.
By the way.
The Nerd Hour.
Best Sunny Show!
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
You're listening to Atomicast.
More Like Radio! MoreLikeRadio.com. It's our duty to entertain you. I said duty. Talk Radio Meltdown.
Yeah, exactly. The book is fucking funny, though.
Oh, yeah.
Of the few books I've read.
You read it?
Yeah. I read a book and it didn't have pictures in it. And they didn't pop up at me.
It also didn't moo when you pushed a button.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
Okay, you didn't say yes when I proposed to you. You said don't be a dick and then you punch me right in the vault, boy.
Well, because you're a cunt.
Talk Radio Meltdown on More Like Radio. Every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Listen live at morelikeradio.com.
Hey, it's Royce.
Introduce everyone.
That's in parentheses. Don't actually say that.
Fuck! Okay, let's try again. Hey, it's Bob.
Nope.
Introduce it.
That's not your name.
Did we do it?
Hi, I'm Eric Nagel.
No! That's his name!
Wait.
You're listening to It's Royce Lopez. I'm Eric Nagel. Thanks for listening. Hey, it's Royce. Anne Marie.
Hey.
Dutch. Kyle.
Hi.
Mark.
Hey.
And John.
Hi.
When you're done listening to this week's episode of It's Eric Nagel, you should check out the Hippo Juice podcast for More Like Radio.
Hey, it's Royce.
No!
Hi, I'm Marie.
No, stop. When you're done listening to this week's episode of It's Eric Nagel, you should check out the Hippo Juice podcast for More Like Radio. We talk about comedy things and news stories.
Florida stories!
And yeah, also that. It's on iTunes, Google Play.
Where else?
Our MySpace page.
No.
So just search More Like Radio and you'll find Hippo Juice and a whole bunch of other cool shows. And if you want to listen live, every Wednesday, 7 p.m., morelikeradio.com, you can find our show.
/live. So remember, sign up for the Hippo Juice podcast on More Like Radio.
And make sure you keep listening to It's Eric Nagel because that guy rules. Boom. Promo.
There we go.
Nailed it. Good job.
There you go, Eric.
About as good as we're going to do.
Nailed it.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
More Like Radio listeners, do you consider yourself a movie fan? Interested in finding out the latest entertainment news via the big screen and small? Well, have your faith shaken no more. With the help of Chris Wetton and Mark Nixon, listen to our epic podcast, The Real Thing, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 p.m., exclusively on morelikeradio.com.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
Hey, are you sitting around bored on Sundays between noon and 2? Well, why don't you check out The Sully Show on More Like Radio? Join myself, JT, Adam Punchy, Danielle, and Greg for all the humor you can think of, and of course, us making fun of each other. What more can you want? Again, The Sully Show is live Sundays noon to 2 Eastern with replays throughout the week. We look forward to seeing you every Sunday right here on The Sully Show on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. Right there on the right, stupid.
Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR.
MoreLikeRadio.com. Because mean people need to laugh too.
I thought you were whack, Black, but now we both learn that when East meets West, it's deadly.
Uno momento, Black and Tan. Eat shell!
Go to hell, Senor Pini!
Last one there, the rotten huevo. Oh!
Say what?
Cut! No, 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 man. You're making me fall asleep. To death, bro. Okay, the line is, say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say
what? What?
Say what?
Got it? This character is not me.
Say what?
Stop it! Listen, you and I don't get along. I'm off the project. Watch out for that water tower!
Wow, G-Dub. You saved my life. Hey, man, would you stay if I rewrote your character?
No! I'll rewrite it. My way. Say.
Just doing my thing.
Second hour. Dutch and Royce here on morelikeradio.com. Number is 954-573-2780. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, or go to morelikeradio.com and join in the chat room. See the video. If you want to get the show, just search Dutch and Royce on any of the podcast venues that are out there, and you can get it. We have our own specific one now. Or you can just search More Like Radio on that same platform and get all the shows that are on More Like Radio. Sully Show, which is right before us. Cousin Joe, which is on Thursdays. We really need to talk to Joey about doing a three-hour show.
Well, right, yeah. Well, he does it whenever he's awake.
Well, I mean, just the fact that it's a three-hour show.
He likes doing it.
I know he loves, but it's like... I joined in the last hour, and it was like he was thankful because he was tired.
Yeah, but he's always tired.
But I jumped in last week. So
you guys used to do a four-hour show.
We did.
Did we?
I did.
No, that was like 10 years ago.
When they were first starting out, I remember.
I remember.
Oh, I remember.
I think we figured out our magical number is 2 hours. That's when we're at our best. Anything longer than that, it's like, eh. Now we're just phoning it in.
I hear you.
Anyways, so, yes. So if you are listening to the podcast and want to check us out live, morelikeradio.com/live, or go to youtube.com/morelikeradio. If you want to check out the live videos whenever something happens on the show where we all start cracking up, you want to see our reactions to it or whatever, just about all of our shows are there on YouTube. Full live video. You can see the chat room and everything like that as well. If you have time to just watch that kind of stuff. But otherwise, why do you guys have three dogs?
Yeah, why do you have three dogs, Mitch?
We have four.
Why do you have so many?
Why do you have four dogs?
Now, I also hold on really quick. I also want to remind everybody that Mitch and Sherry, after the last time they had dogs that they took care of, they said, we'll never do this again. So
ever again.
What happened?
Because Sterling knocked up one of the dogs you were taking care of.
That's right. Yes. He's swinging that
dick. We won't ever foster.
When we got rid of that dumb bitch. So we will not foster any more dogs, but
foster the children.
Yes, but we will babysit family members' dogs.
That's our line.
Okay, so, now which family member has three dogs? That seems a
my
lot.
My cousin has two little chihuahuas. Thanks. And a little, I don't know, would you call him a beagle chihuahua mix?
Yeah, he's a beagle terrier, some kind of mix.
Kickable small dogs.
How long do you have
them
for?
At least one big one.
How long do you have
them for? It's weird to have a chihuahua in a non-tropical climate.
Okay, that's not a chihuahua. That's a chihuahua mix, right?
No, this is a beagle hound, some kind of mix of whatever. The chihuahuas are on the floor humping his toy.
Combined, they're like 20 pounds, not even.
All three of them together are maybe 20 pounds.
They're not yappy.
Really? Because I think the audience would tell you different.
Well they make nice. They make a couple yips here and there, but they're not pain in the ass like other small little yippy dogs.
They're not ankle biters.
Yeah. But I will say, remember like 2 weeks ago, we were babysitting that German Shepherd. Like, Sherry's cousin the entire time was like, are you guys sure you can take three dogs? Blah, blah, blah. Just let me know if you don't want to take all three. All the blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, dude, we'll be fine. And he's been texting Sherry every day saying, how are the dogs doing? Blah, blah, blah. And
are you sure you can handle this?
We're like, literally, these three dogs together are easier to deal with than that one German Shepherd was.
Really?
Yeah.
So
yeah, German Shepherds need space to run, from what I hear.
Well, it was a 75-pound, 7-month-old puppy.
Wow.
Who the only way he knows how to play with other dogs is to bite them in the face.
Which learned from another dog in the family.
To be fair, that's the only way I play with humans. I just bite them in the face.
It's true.
You need to stop doing that. I talked about that with you the last time I saw
you. You know what? I just read some more. It shows dominance, and I want to be the alpha.
Well, I don't want you to be up, but when you do it to me and Kelsey, it's weird.
Alpha dog. If you keep I will start barking at you.
Like
I will
Kelsey
bark
and
at
I.
You. Kelsey and were.
When?
Fair enough. You win that one.
When Dude and Pepper play, it's very one-sided on depending on where they're doing. Okay, so Dude will lay on his back, and it, for those of you who don't know, I have a husky named Dude, and I have this, or Kelsey has this this small like miniature poodle and a Lhasa Apso mix, so they call it a Lhasa poo, and it's like this big. Pepper, come here. I'll just show you guys.
So like what, 4 pounds?
It's very, very small. Pepper, come here. Come here. She hates me right now. Come here, baby. Hey. All right, so here's Pepper. So she's this big. Very Aww. Small. You can't see her face.
She's probably
the most unphotogenic dog you're ever going to meet, because when you take a picture of her, it's just a black blob.
Aww. So,
but she dominates Dude, who is literally I want to say about five times her size. But every once in a while, dude, when he wants to play and she's not in the mood, he will bite her entire head. Like you were talking about. Like her entire head will be swallowed by dude. And then she gets mad. And then dude will like lay on his back and be like, oh, beat me up. And then she'll just bite the shit out of his face. And that's how these two idiots play. And it's very strange.
How big is dude now?
Dude is, well, he's outside right now because he was running around because he saw a squirrel and he didn't want to come inside. And he's like about, that. I think he's like 60 pounds now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good size guy. He's shedding now because it's starting to get a little bit warmer. And man, those motherfuckers with their undercoats. Because like they'll go for full stretches of time without shedding at all. But like once they start losing their under winter coat, because these things are meant to be in, you know, 0 degree weather. They're supposed to be mush dogs. Like they're supposed to be sled dogs. And it's just his hair is everywhere. And no matter how much I brush him. But once he actually sheds his whole winter coat, he'll be fine. But
it's a good.
Go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, I said it's cool. Dude's doing good now, considering all the shit he went through when he was a puppy.
Mm. Hell yeah. We keep talking about how we need to go back to the vet office that saved him or the animal hospital, because we haven't really given them a follow up because we just kind of took him home and they were like, yeah, he either has parvo or that tick that was on his tail that led him like to tick paralysis, you know. And we need to bring him back and be like, hey, look, your assessment of the tick paralysis was correct. You're a good doctor. We haven't done that yet.
Yeah, you probably should, right?
I was going to say, maybe we should make that guy feel better because he has no idea. Go ahead.
Wasn't Parvo part of the Marx Brothers?
No. You're thinking of. but speaking of things that you don't want, do you guys have a Cinépolis near you? Those movie theater Cinépolis?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, what the hell is a Cinépolis?
Well, we have them here. They're big in California too. Anyway, I sent this to Mitch and Sherry earlier. They want to make these new movie theaters now where kids can play on a jungle gym next to their parents' seats.
Nope.
Okay, so you can't even really enjoy the movie.
I'm going to read a little more, but I just want I just saw this and I thought you guys would be look, there's a picture of what one looks like.
big old
hold on,
nope.
Is it enclosed where you don't have to hear the kids yelling?
No. Yeah, like soundproof? No, it's not soundproof. So that they can suffocate?
No, you hear them. It's hard for young children to sit 2 hours, and that can turn a trip to the movie theater to ordeal for parents. So what is the solution? Where to let kids play at the cinema? Mexico-based movie theater chain Cinépolis is betting it can lure more families back to the multiplex with its new in-theater playground concept.
No.
Cinépolis Junior.
No.
Which makes its U.S. debut in two Southern California locations next week.
No.
The remodeled auditoriums at the Cinépolis USA, Pico Riviera, and Vista Theaters each feature a colorful play area near the screen in front of the seats, a jungle gym, and a cushy beanbag chair.
No one wants any of that.
Cinépolis is the
world's... Who gave the green light for this?
Cinépolis is the world's fourth largest cinema operator, hopes the new kid-oriented theaters, which charge $3 more than a regular ticket price.
And it's more expensive?
Will help it better compete with Netflix and other at-home opportunities by enticing more parents and children to go to the theater.
So you're going to pay more money to get disrupted throughout the entire movie?
Designed for kids of ages 3 to 12, the two children auditoriums open March 16th.
It's designed for a whole bag of nope.
It's going to screen the live-action Beauty and the Beast remake.
Absolutely fucking not. No, because kids are just going to be playing on the jungle gym and screaming and just being loud and obnoxious, and you're not going to hear a thing.
If it was self-enclosed and it was soundproof, then that's one thing.
And if it wasn't at a theater.
And if it was pitch black.
Good point.
If it were just a park outside, then fine, but it's a movie theater, so no. Make your kids sit.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just do like a daycare thing at a movie
or
theater?
Or hire a sitter.
The kids have an entire room dedicated to dropping your kids off.
Movie Co. used to have that. The kids' auditoriums, which each cost $500,000 to retrofit, is the latest idea cinema owners have devised to stem a long-term slowdown in theatrical attendance, especially among younger consumers.
Latest terrible idea.
They're never going to make that back.
Yeah. No, of course not.
Goodbye, $500,000.
Apparently, these theaters are only going to be for kids' movies. Obviously, they're not going to fucking show Deadpool in there.
I don't care. Why is the parents going to spend more money for their kid to not pay attention to the movie?
Okay, how about this? How about they show 50 Shades of Grey in one of those? Is that fine? How about an adult jungle gym?
No.
It seems like
that's movie just theaters a swingers are, club.
Whatever.
Movie theaters are.
Sorry, go ahead, Dutch.
Movie theaters are just hemorrhaging money at this point. Remember that story I think I read like a month ago where they were recreating an indoor outdoor movie
Central
theater.
Central Park.
No, they were recreating the whole like drive-in movie theater where basically each of a seat is like a replica of a car, and they have like, you know, controlled environment where they cool it down, and they have like a they're basically trying to recreate the drive-in movie theater, but making it awesome because they have a bar you can walk to and everything like that. It seems like this is just another one of the things where they're just the movie theaters are doing whatever they can at this point because nobody's going to movie theaters anymore because of on-demand movie experience.
I tried a similar idea where I rented out a warehouse and I had a bunch of running cars in there. Everyone just died. So
I know how to solve this problem. Just serve beer.
A lot of them do beer, mixed drinks, and the dine-in ones. Those are the best ones, in my opinion, because a lot of people go out for a dinner or a movie normally, right?
Yeah.
So it's if it the
you have it if all they have if spot,
they, and
yeah.
By the way, the ones that we've gone to, at least the AMC Dine-ins by us, are pretty fucking good. It's not shit food. It's actually decent food and beer and stuff. So you could sit down and eat and watch the movie. Kind of instead of spending 5 hours out doing that, you could get dinner and the movie done within 2 hours. You know what I mean?
Which is nice. Hit a button and a waitress comes to you. But they have the theaters cascaded in a certain way that if the waitress comes to you, she's not blocking your view.
In front of anybody. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And those seats are more expensive, but it's kind of worth it because you got to – like if I'm going to go out to see a theater, you're right. They do have to kind of entice me because my thought process, I'll wait a month and it'll be online, you know?
That's exactly what I think every time I see it. I'm like, okay, I can't wait to get that on demand.
Because I don't want to pay $17 for popcorn.
That's the problem, man. They get out of hand. Like they started
serving.
So
that's why they're doing shit like this, Marie, is that like they're trying to get the people – like who are the people who are least likely to come here? People with kids. So let's try and entice that market by having this.
They're
side.
Doing it all.
I think it's a bad idea, but
they're
I can
doing
see
it
where
all
they're
wrong.
Coming from.
They're doing it all wrong. They should be focusing on bringing in good food.
You're doing it wrong.
They should allow good food to happen and good drinks to happen, and then people will show up because we'll go out and eat still, and we'll go out and watch a movie if we can also enjoy our time eating and doing. But when you charge $17 for popcorn and a large soda,
Mitch was
saying, I can handle popcorn.
Like Mitch was saying, serve beer, but the problem is they have beer, they have a full alcohol bar, but they charge you like $15.
That's
for
what I'm
one,
saying. They
one drink.
They don't
it's
have
like,
it right.
You could go home, put Cody on, and drink for $15. Drink a fucking entire case of beer.
They don't have it right. If you don't have the setup in the system, then allow food trucks to be parked outside and allow outside food to be brought in. That is what's going to bring people back.
Exactly.
In.
Yeah, I agree. Like it's I get what they're hemorrhaging it because again they don't know what to do.
Movie theaters used to be a cool hangout place for kids where they didn't have anything else to do and were too young to be able to go to a club. Like going to a movie was a thing. It's cheaper to be at home. They're making things more expensive and therefore driving the teenagers away. That's
not only
the problem
that. Not
is.
Only that. Like, how much easier just to fucking pause if you have to take a shit, you know, or take a leak,
right.
Or oh, let's eat real quick and pause. Like, you know, the thing with a movie theater, and no, there's not gonna be a crying baby or a fucking jungle gym next to you. You know what I mean? Like, you could just sit there in your house. You don't have to worry about some asshole texting with his fucking phone or a
kids are not the problem with movie theaters. Kids don't even pay money. You have
exactly.
to teenagers and young kids and older people like. Those are the people that aren't going to the movie theaters anymore because we can't afford to because you made it too damn expensive.
Yeah, the problem is, like, when going to watch a movie, if you go watch an IMAX movie in 3D, it's more expensive than eating at a steakhouse. Seriously, it is.
It is.
You know, by the
time
that's
just it. Is another thing, too, is that, like, people are willing to wait for the convenience, like
exactly.
you were saying.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's not like...
When a movie comes out, you're like, okay... How bad they don't need to see this to go and have this shitty experience where I might have my experience ruined by, either a crying baby or just the fact that, like, I have bad seats because I got there a little bit late.
Or you're not allowed to use your phone anymore.
Like, here's a perfect example. I want to see the new Logan movie. It's gotten very good reviews, everything I've seen. But the problem is like, I even said to Maria, go, hey, maybe, you know, we'll go out one night, have dinner and movie. She goes, how about just dinner? I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't want to go to theater either. Like, I had the fleeting no, for real. Did you notice me? I had the fleeting thought for a second. And then when she goes, no, I go, you're right. There's so many downsides to doing that. It's like, why would we do that? Why don't we just go eat and then do something else? You know, like, it's rough, man. It's rough. Like, and again, at a movie, you know, at home, I could be in my fucking pajamas, my underwear. I could be naked and watch a movie. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man.
And the amount of complaints we have for movie theaters, well, every other avenue of entertainment is saying, well, you don't need movie theaters anymore because we have on demand. We have, you know, basically movie theater quality shows and or movies that you can just get straight from Amazon.
Not even that. How about in 5 years when they start making full VR movies and you can't watch that in a theater? You can watch it at home with your, like, how are they going
to
compete with that?
To have
it, you're not going to need a screen. You're not going to be able to use a screen anymore. And I think, you know, they're going to have I wonder what's going to happen, because I was thinking about that, like, when all these Best Buys and all these brick and mortar places start closing down because everything's going to be online, what's going to happen to these buildings? Because there's going to be nothing to replace them. What's going to replace them? Restaurants?
VR interactive fight arenas. Kind of like laser tag back in the day, but now it's all VR.
I was going to say bowling alleys.
VR cockfighting.
Now, hold on. Are we talking chickens or are we talking dicks? Are we talking chicken dicks?
Both of them in the same building, but it's sectioned off in different areas.
Okay, well, I'm glad. There's going to be like one of those dividers like at the cafeteria at school.
Yeah. But it's mostly just a curtain in the middle.
But you could bet.
Still hear the other side.
You could bet on both of them, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, then I'm in. I'm fucking in, dude. Whatever. Let's do this. Well, I'm down for cockfighting future.
You're right. So, like, movie theaters are going to go the way of driving movie theaters, where it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, they do in black neighborhoods.
Barely. You know what I mean? It doesn't exist. Dude, you don't understand that driving movie theaters were like that ruled the country for a long time. And then actual theaters came up because they could fit more people in. But they had lower ticket prices than a drive-in.
And now, and yada,
yada. It's going to go the way of the dodo bird.
And now the only drive-in theater I can think of is the virtual fake one in Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
where they just made up fake cars for you to eat in a restaurant that seemed like a drive-in theater.
Yeah, the regular drive-ins were great because you get a hand job and shit, you know?
I think there's a couple of Minnesota still.
Hand jobs or fucking drive-ins?
3 months out of the year.
Yeah, the other months they don't do because people die of fucking hypothermia.
Fucking
don't. I don't think there's any more in Colorado. I can't think of I don't think there is. I remember having one in college when I was in Kansas.
And again, you know the other thing, Doug?
Yeah, you're not in Kansas anymore.
I'm not.
Most people TVs and sound systems are better than theaters now. You know what I mean?
Like, better.
And your couch isn't sticky.
Yeah, your couch, the only cum on your couch is your own.
Just speak for yourself.
You know? Like, you don't have to worry about that.
Because Kyle always keeps talking about this, the exponential rate of entertainment technology. I think movie theaters will be dead in the next 5 years.
You know what, Dutch?
What is to say otherwise?
You know what, Dutch?
Just with the rate of VR growing in the last 2 years? Hell yeah.
We should get Kyle on. Kyle Johnson, for those who don't know, who are new listeners on Hippo Juice, he's our tech guy. And I want to know his opinion, because I'm very curious what's going to happen with all that shit, because you don't really need it anymore. There's so much shit we don't need. I mean, we talked about it last week, but Wendy's and all these restaurants, McDonald's, already started using the computers, you know, instead of people. Like,
get rid of cashiers. Yeah,
it's like you don't need them, and you can't blame companies for doing that. Like, people are already getting mad at them. Like, don't get mad at them. Like, you, that's fucking technology. That's what happens.
I would rather have a computer.
Yes, I'd rather a computer. Computers are going to give me a dirty look
than a wife. That's really rude. You guys are about to get married.
I stand by my statement.
Stand by me.
Yeah, you know
I stand by my future husband.
That's what's going to happen at the wedding. Mitch is going to get married.
What's his name?
You?
Mitch basically built Sherry. It's probably the next generation of catfish. She's a Sherry a Sherry bot 5000.
No, he did not build me. He just gave me an outlet to be me.
Oh. You know what? I noticed the last time I was out visiting you guys, you never got near water. Is that because you're a cyborg?
She's a robot.
What's water?
See? Told you. She's either a robot or one of those aliens from Signs that we have to hit with a bat.
I think I think she's an android.
Are you an android, Sherry? You
have she is because she's a Futurama android because she's powered by alcohol.
Oh, okay. Well,
she's a bending robot.
Mitch needs a woman to love him somehow.
Yeah. Aww. Keep her drunk.
And he doesn't have to keep buying her cell phones.
It's cheaper to buy beer.
That's a very good point.
Or wine in this case.
And she makes her own, so I mean you're doing no
work. Are we getting Kyle on or no?
No.
I don't have a sub. Yeah.
I don't know if he'd be ready for it. He's gonna want to do research.
No, I just want to like call him real quick.
Well, I don't know, fucking you ask him.
Does anybody have his actual number?
I have it.
2.
That's more Kyle. Than that. You need more numbers than that, I think. When are phone numbers going to go away?
Well, you still need them for cell phones to verify your Google account when you log in. So,
yeah.
No, but eventually we really don't need them, right?
Well, businesses still need them.
No, they don't. Businesses could have Skypes.
Yeah, but who wants to use Skype?
I know, it's pretty terrible.
Have you ever tried to teach an old person how to use Skype? Impossible.
Teaching an old person how to do anything is impossible.
It's impossible. I want to say I can't wait for them to all die, but also that's the reason I have a job. So,
wait, did you have an experience with one of your grandparents or what?
No. Like at my job that I do with the radio shows, all of the people that are doing these shows are old people. Right. So I have to teach them how to use technology like Skype and Google Hangouts and stuff.
Right.
And they are all just completely inept at anything computer related. So I usually just sit there with my hand and my head just scratching, like, oh my God, you're so fucking stupid. Okay, go to tools, option. No, at the top.
This is really what he looks like at work. Okay, I used to feel bad that I recommended it. Hold on, slow down.
Is this the internet? Am I on the internet now?
Go back to Skype. I need you to go back to Skype.
Hold on. It says I could get Viagra for $20. Click yes.
We'll click yes.
No, don't do that.
Skype.
Okay.
It reminds me of the other conversations we had with Bob Levy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, also dogs.
Yeah. I basically relive Bob Levy-isms every day.
Every day.
Or Davin. Or any of the defunct shows.
Davin wasn't bad. Because Davin's, you know, not terribly old, so he can at least work a computer. But I work people like, okay, I need to go to your start menu. It's the circle thing with the Windows icon, bottom left. You don't see that. Are you on a Mac? I'm on a Dell.
Daddy.
Okay, so in the bottom left hand corner, you see the Windows icon.
It's yeah. No? I mean, I don't know. It's at some point. I hope that. When do you stop? Do you think that's ever going to happen to us? Or since we were born into tech, that we'll just always try to get it.
That's what I was wondering. I brought that up. I brought up that question because, like, you know, because old people right now, did not grow up with technology, so they don't. So it's a completely different learning curve than us, where we had technology. I mean, for the most part, you know, but we've grown up with computers and using computers, so technology is obviously going to evolve. But we are aware of that, and we are at least semi-keeping up with the times.
Well, not only that, though, but like any new technology they put out there, they're going to take the guesswork out of learning stuff. Like, for example, just the Google Home. The fact that it syncs up everything right away, and you don't have to like go through settings and do this other kind of stuff. All you have to do is download an app and sync it up, and bam. Like, I think that's where it's going to be headed now, where it takes out the learning curve and the guesswork of any of this new technology, where it just automatically you get it because it's right there in front of you and it's more user-friendly.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. But, oh, and Brendan here says in the chat, he goes, the theater industry is in the shitter because they only looked at other theaters as their competition rather than the trend of streaming video. They based it all on the Great Depression and how the theater thrived. It's true that they only competed against other theaters. They didn't see that anything else as a competition. That makes sense.
Well, do you see what's happening? Like, ESPN is set to lay off like hundreds of on-air talent, like guys you've seen if you're into sports at all. I'm sure the majority of people who are listening to this right now aren't. But ESPN is the biggest moneymaker for the Disney Corporation.
Oh, yeah.
They made $4.5 billion last year, right? And they're still, they made that much, but they're still having to lay off a lot of like high-end talent that you would see on because of what you're talking about. The people that who aren't paying for cable anymore, people who are just going to the digital, people who are unplugging basically and going straight for the, I don't need all this other extra stuff. I don't need a cable bill. I don't need any of this other nonsense.
Because I know people that still do, but I don't sit and flip through channels anymore. Why?
Still do because it's. You want to know why I do it? Because it's a comfort for me.
The thing
I don't
I do,
know why.
The thing
it
I do.
Is.
The thing I do closest to that is like I will sometimes find myself spending 30 minutes going through Netflix before I decide what I want to watch, and I'm like, man, I could have watched the whole
right.
show in the goddamn time, you know, that I decided. But for the most part, like. Because of the internet, flipping channels is useless because you already know what new show's coming out. You know when it's, you know, it's like you get it right away. Bam, 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 you're done, you know? I mean, HBO was smart.
The only thing I do... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mitch. You're good.
I was going to say, the only thing I do miss about having cable or even just TV was like when you don't necessarily want to watch a specific show, right?
Right.
So you just turn it on to... you know, Discovery or whatever, and you can just watch, you just leave the TV on and it's just kind of noise and it's just playing. You don't have to think about it. I do miss that. So I have tried to find outlets for that, but it's never really that good.
Well, just go
but
to...
I mean, if I wanted to watch a specific thing, I'm not going to wait until, you know, I need to wait until 8 o'clock on Wednesday to watch this show.
Well,
I don't
do
need
what
to
I
do
did.
That.
Do
I
what I did.
When
I want to do that, I'll just throw Planet Earth on and just let it run.
This is what
I do miss HGTV.
We have a ton of shows that Kelsey and I love. And what we do is we just set them all to record. And we have Dish, which can record like 16 things all at the same time. So we never miss anything. And then we just watch at our leisure. Like we'll be sitting down and going, hey, let's watch Fixer Upper. Or let's watch Planet Earth. Or let's watch Impractical Jokers. You know what I mean? Like it is basically on demand. But we don't have to go through the rigmarole of finding a good, clean stream of it.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like, there is something to be said about having that to your fingertips and really paying, like, $60 a month for it. So
I just wonder how many people still, I mean, I get it, but for the most part, it's going to go away, man. It's going away.
It will. No, and I know. I'm doing my old man get off my lawn thing where I'm holding on to something that I'm familiar with.
Oh,
and that's all it
thing.
Is. It's all familiarity.
Here's a new thing I don't know if you guys know about, but you know how all these people are doing this on-demand streaming internet thing. So there's like the Sling Box and there's
Roku.
Yeah, Roku, but there's
Roku,
just like the,
right.
But it's like internet TV, but it's like real channels.
Right.
YouTube is coming out with YouTube TV. And it's going to be like $35 a month, but there's going to be like 40 some channels on it. And it's, you know,
actual channels.
It's going to be like AMC, FX, ESPN,
the most popular ones.
Yeah.
Good for them.
It's not going to have Discovery or anything like that. So that might keep me from subscribing to it. But I mean, if they added that, then I would probably do it just for the simple fact of I just want something to kind of veg out to. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they're going to
have HGTV.
Yes, I believe they will.
I will subscribe to it for us.
But it's going to be like $35 a month, and you shouldn't have all of that bullshit taxes and everything that they tack on with your cable bill.
Well, it's funny you say that because Chicago or Illinois, to be specific, is going to be the first state to propose a bill to tax your Netflix or any streaming service you have there. So the state is going to tax. If you have a Netflix account and you live in Chicago, for example, they're going to add a state tax to it, even though they're not physically giving you anything. So
they can fuck off then.
No, but you see what my point is, like This is a dangerous game because taxes are supposed to be on physical goods, and states get supposedly get money for it because you're using the state's infrastructure, because you're using trucks to get in there or to get out there, you're using their roads, and that makes sense. That's why you tax goods like Walmart that are coming in. But Netflix, you're not using their roads, you're not using their infrastructure. Their Comcast or the cable companies are their own private companies. So how can a state tax you for a streaming service? And it's going to happen.
I feel like that probably won't happen because these cable companies and internet companies are notorious for sending a shitload of lawyers after things like this to block them from happening with litigation and yeah.
Well, from what I'm seeing, fretting over Netflix taxes. Here's the New York Times. Yeah, but they've written about it, man. It's coming.
It'll get passed, but it will get it before it actually gets enacted, because things can get passed and then they have like a grace period for people to oppose it. Dude, it more than likely probably won't get passed just because Google has a team of lawyers. You know, all these different internet companies have just the best lawyers ever going after this guy.
Illinois legislator considering Netflix tax to help balance the budget. The amendment would apply
considering
to
that's key word. Considering.
Let me read it.
I can think of a lot of different things they can do to balance the fucking budget. Than
your next Netflix bill could see a big increase. Lawmakers are in another attempt to increase the sales tax on internet streaming services to help balance the budget. The amendment would apply a 6.25% tax. 6.25%. So how much is Netflix a month? $9.99.
Yeah.
So what's 6.25% to only internet streaming sites like Netflix, Spotify? But Mitch, do the math. Netflix, Spotify.
60 cents.
Okay. The next cable bill could also see a higher amount, too, if measure is approved. The amendment is in the beginning stages. The Illinois Policy Institute President CEO Christine Rasmussen says there's too many unanswered questions in the amendment. If you're a college student from Illinois that is now living in another state, are we going to tax people who might be coming through O'Hare and watching a movie at the gate? That's a good point. What if you're visiting family but your Netflix account is in Florida? You know, but the bill does not clarify. It could also impact restaurant and bar owners, those subscribe to satellite and TV and purchase a sports package. Your next bill could see hundreds of dollars in new taxes. This amendment
it's never going to happen.
This amendment is part of a package of bills making up the grand bargain plan.
But if it's a 6% tax on a $10 a month bill, isn't that just $11 a month?
It's not just Netflix. It's all streaming services. And we're talking about like bars that buy the sports packages now. Like, you know, like they would be hundreds of dollars for them because that's those packages.
Netflix will never let this happen.
The idea for tax streaming services is just one of many amendments being okay. But you know what? Why don't you get your shit together in other way? I love when that's the dude. I don't want to be one of those fucking weird super libertarians. It's like taxation is theft. But the problem is, like, you want to be reasonable with people that we understand we need taxes, we need roads, we need schools, we need police, we need fire. I get all that. But then when you do things like this, you make people go, you know what? Taxation is theft. How can you fucking, how dare you even, forget even pass it. How dare you propose a bill? The state is literally doing nothing and trying to get money. How dare you? That's fucking bullshit, dude. I'm sorry.
Well, because everything else is tied up in red tape from other, you know, interest groups who threw a lot of lawyers at other taxation. So they have to find new revenues because this is one of these ones they haven't gone to court with yet. Other thing they've gone to court with and they've lost, and this is the new one. That's what it is.
Manage your fucking spending. Get rid of all of the middlemen and all the bullshit and just bring it down to bare bones.
That's easy to say.
I know it is, but
or have an idea. Really, I have an idea, solution. Illinois.
It's not just tax everyone out of everything they fucking have.
I have an idea, Illinois. Right? Maybe save some money by stopping all the crime in Chicago, so you don't have to have state forces go in there to stop fucking shootings every fucking month. How do we do that?
You want to know one? Want to know? Here you go. Since we're talking about this, one proven thing that has worked. My state in Washington. How about you just legalize pot?
There you go. There it is.
That's half
of the crime in Chicago gone.
Half of it will be eliminated, and then bam, there's your revenue source. You dumb.
Instead of taxing,
I can't believe our Puritan fucking country is still against this. Washington and Colorado have proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that this works.
By the way,
well, you want to know what, Dutch?
Fucking fighting it.
It's funny.
You should say that. It's fun. Mitch, Minnesota, go ahead.
Minnesota is just starting to legalize Sunday liquor sales.
Woo!
Well, you know what, Dutch? Hey, Dutch.
Sweet
mystery. You finally got it done.
Yes. Like, it's not... We can't find yet, but it's been signed by the governor.
It's funny you say that because Maul says there's an internet streaming service called PureFlix. He goes, did you guys hear about that a Christian streaming service that is currently being sued by almost everyone? They take movies and edit out all the raunchy stuff, then stream it onto their platform. However, they don't have the
rights.
She
said it's VidAngel.
VidAngel. There you go.
Pure fantastic.
Oh, well, they should be sued. You can't do that.
Hold on, there's a link.
That's intellectual property. You can't just fucking alter that shit, you fucking idiots. Christians are dumb.
My God, it's real.
What?
These Christian sites.
What do you mean it's real? Of course it's real. Why would you think it's not real?
Because he's... Why? Oh, fuck them.
What do you mean, why?
But
religion is a huge moneymaker.
Can we watch a trailer?
I don't want to watch any of these.
I want to watch.
Are they selling ads? Like that's a well, not even that though. Regardless of whether or not they're making money on the rights.
You can't just do
just
that.
The fact you can't take somebody's intellectual property and change it.
Since when?
What is this? Let's play a video on their site. Let's just play one blindly and see what happens.
VidAngel.
Dry bar comedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to
Sounds
the stage.
Hilarious.
Drew. Oh, this is all Christian comedy. Okay.
Alan.
I'm the king. Thank you for being here, you guys. This is really exciting. It is great to be here with VidAngel. We are going to put those filters to work tonight. None of my jokes are particularly dirty or anything. I just like to tell my jokes naked, so that's...
Wow, Christian comedy.
But he's not naked.
Christian comedy's good.
Just a thing I do. If you're watching this clean, then like in about 10 seconds, your video is just going to...
Yeah.
There was this Christian comic that my mother went to go see, and she was like, he's hilarious. And I looked up, I forget, this was a long time ago, and I forgot to bring it up on the show because I think we're busy that day. But this particular guy makes, like, Jeff Foxworthy type money because all he does is tour churches. Right. And all he has is, like, gospel and Bible jokes. And he packs out these, like, you know, those big Pentecostal churches,
the ones that
seat, like, 10,000 people every goddamn night. He doesn't play any clubs. He just plays churches, and he goes on, like, you know, church nights, which are, like, Wednesday nights and, like, you know, Saturday and Sunday nights. And he packs them out and, you know, charges $40 a ticket each time. And that's a whole other cottage industry. You can't – and I'm assuming this guy we're watching right now is probably the same type of a guy.
You know what? Let's click the YouTube. Let's see how many views it has. How about that? 1,462.
I don't know, but there was this particular type of Christian comic, not him so much, but I'm just saying there's a whole other, you know, like I said earlier, a cottage industry of just these guys who are just strictly Christian comics. Because, I mean, dude, we all know that religion is just massive.
Right.
Especially like, you know, you travel the Bible Belt. Dude, you're making $200,000 to $300,000 a click in one tour.
I don't see. They must have taken down the edited movies out because I don't see them on this site anymore.
Well, because he just got sued.
Where did
you
find it, Sherry?
I just Googled VidAngel.
Oh.
Huh. Because I'm only seeing their Christian comedy specials. Or I'm not going to sign up. I will not sign up. I'm closing.
Don't do
this.
It.
I'm giving him nothing.
Don't do it.
Fuck them. But yeah, YouTube TV, maybe.
Legal battle between VidAngel and a slew of Hollywood studios. You never want a slew of Hollywood studios suing you.
Yeah, because they have the best Jews.
It's just a lot of them. Whenever you refer to somebody as a slew. poor them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but good. No, but fuck them. You don't get to. When somebody makes something, you know, like I said earlier, intellectual property, you can't just take that and be like, nah, we're just going to cut out the parts we don't deem worthy
by the way,
for our
says,
audience.
Says everybody on this show who doesn't really pay for any of the theft that they take. We don't.
I pay for internet.
We can't really take that moral high ground when we like you, when we torrent stuff.
What are you talking about? We don't do any of that. So of course we can take the moral high ground.
Maybe you can.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
I certainly can't.
I love taking the moral high ground.
By the way, I like the new graphic for DNR.
Oh yeah, I found that old picture.
You're the.
Yes, thank you.
You're the workhorse,
and you're the hot. And you have hot problems.
That's old.
Yep, but I love it.
Good find, by the way.
Thanks.
Bringing it back.
By the way, real quick, since we're talking about this, like every one of our YouTube videos has DNR as a thing.
I know, I'm working on it, shithead.
Just letting you know. I don't know how hard it was to change.
I'll fix it. Calm down, honey.
I am calm.
Not you, the other honey.
Oh.
But we're going to Fort Rock next month, so that'll be fun.
Woo woo.
Soundgarden, Perfect Circle.
Fort Rock.
Fort Rock is in Fort Myers, Florida. It's a 2-day weekend thing where Soundgarden, A Perfect Circle, Def Leppard, Offspring, Chevelle.
Are they going to play at an actual fort?
I don't know. Papa Roach. Remember Papa Roach?
I try not to.
Alter Bridge, Seether, 3 Days Grace.
I'm like, dude, this sounds like, remember that bit, not bit, but like when we had that whole conversation of white, not white trash rock.
Yeah, white trash rock.
Soundgarden is not white trash.
No. But there's a good chunk of bands in there that she mentioned that were considered white trash. Like things that John would go see live.
At a strip club.
Strip club bands like Papa Roach, Offspring. What were the other bands? Just keep naming
them. Alter Bridge.
I put the line.
Perfect Circle.
I put the lineup in the chat so you can take a look at it.
There we go. Yeah, no, Perfect Circle, I'm assuming Maynard is back on that and not doing Tool anymore or what? He does this thing where he'll be like with one band for like a year and a half, or sorry, 2.5 years, and then go back to the other one.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so, the Sunday lineup is Soundgarden, Perfect Circle, Offspring, Mastodon, Highly Suspect, The Pretty Reckless, In Flames, Of Mice and Men, Eagles of Death Metal, All That Remains.
Of Mice and Men is good.
Yeah.
Damn, Eagles of Death Metal?
Those are the guys, you don't remember?
The shooting
Eagles
in
of Death Metal. No, those are the guys who are playing in Paris, that whole shooting happened.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the guys from Queens of the Stone Age, or the supergroup.
Oh, yeah. All of that is true. Good fun facts, guys.
Woo!
Teamwork. But yeah, let us know if you guys know of any good festivals in your area. I think the going to a different festival other than Bonnaroo for 2 years in a row kind of got our appetite wet for trying out different festivals.
Destruction.
Appetite for destruction, yes.
Discretion.
Because we know like Colorado has a bunch of good ones, so I don't know.
You got a bunch out here, yeah.
Yeah, you must you get some real good stuff going out there.
Every year we have about 2 or 3. I haven't gone to any of them.
Don't
but the Telluride Festival, weren't you guys talking about thinking about coming out to that one before we on the air?
Yes, we were talking about Bob heading out there. That'd be cool. It looks really pretty.
Oh, no, it's beautiful. It's, you know, tucked into the mountains. Like in one of those valleys, so like the temperature isn't like freezing. So
right, yeah, man, I definitely would do that. I had a lot of fun, dude. I would definitely do those shits. It's just you got to come with us, Dutch.
Oh, Def Leppard's playing this one. Def Leppard was one of the loudest concerts I've ever been to. One of those ones where like I went to when I was like 29, and even then I was like, this is really loud. Like my ears are hurting.
Ow!
This is really loud.
This is incredibly just my eardrums are bleeding. I was on a lot of coke that night too. Now I'm thinking about it.
Oh, of course you were.
It's like one of the rare times.
Diet
I ever did
or
coke.
Regular?
Dude, coke. Like I was. It was one of the rare times that I ever done it because my brother. Well, I'm now going to implicate my brother. This is 7 years ago.
Okay.
Even though it was only 4 years ago. Wait, hold on. How many years ago was it? Damn, damn. I moved back from. Damn. Oh, this was. I think I remember telling you guys this on the air. We were doing the show at the time. But anyways, I remember. Yeah, we went to the show, and my brother like asked me at the last second, "Hey, you want to go with?" Because his best friend, who's a diehard Def Leppard fan, he like at the last second couldn't go because of like a death in the family or something tragic like that. So I was like, "Sure, I'll go." So we went, and we got in there, and then somebody just handed us like one of those like baggies. Yeah. It was like a stiff like Ziploc bag, but it wasn't like one of the wide ones. It was like long thin ones with a straw sticking out of it. And we're like, I guess they're passing out Coke here. And so we just started eating it.
No.
And we never passed it on along the road. We just kept it between us. And then like wow. I was on a lot of Coke that night. Now I'm thinking about it. I don't even remember much of what happened, but I do remember so they was Def Leppard and Foreigner were like the two headliners. I remember I Want to Know What Love Is played, and I know that my my sister was a huge fan of it, so I called her and just held it up, and it turned out it went to her voicemail. She never actually answered it and listened to it. So she just had like a 3.5 minute voicemail of me holding up I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner. And then Def Leppard, that was fun because it was great seeing like just 40-year-old women revert back to their early 20s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get
like,
you.
White snaking
on a car.
Oh yeah, dude, they were just taking their shit. Dude, I've never seen more 40-year-old tits in my life than I did when Pour Some Sugar on Me came on. It was incredible to watch.
It is time to wrap up, Dutch. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Well, I had a song to play, but I actually like this one better.
Oh, I was just trying to help out because you had the last story.
Oh, hey, didn't we say we're going to switch duties for the next month?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I got the music, I'm doing it. Marie, why are you better?
I'm better because I will wear every layer of clothing to get warm.
Mitch, why are you better?
I am better than you because I am living in a house full of cute doggies.
Sherry, why are you better?
I am better than you because for the first time in I feel like a year or so, I stayed up until the second half of the show.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Me too. John, why are you better?
I'm better than you because Shifar.
Dutch, why are you better?
I saw 18 40-year-old boobs during one song at Def Leppard 3 years ago.
That's nice. You always want an even number. And I am better than you because I'm so fucking tan, dude. All right, guys. Hippo juice tomorrow.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Dutch and Royce.
Later. And then they eat the poo-poo.